We have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70 degrees as well. It's time now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics. We struggle to keep the peace, to make things right. But our lives are not our own. They are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-Al-Anon or visit our website at www.alanon.alateen.org. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Hi, I'm Marshall Falk of the St. Louis Rams. Hurricane Katrina has devastated Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and Alabama, but the real struggle has just begun. Hundreds of thousands have been forced from their homes, and many are without food, clean water, and shelter. But you can help. Don't sit on the sidelines. The victims of Hurricane Katrina need your support. Join the team and donate by visiting redcrossstl.org or by calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Hi, my name's Frank. I'm the pedestrian you just passed back there. Yeah, you were going pretty fast. I don't even think you saw me. But it was partly my fault. I was on the cell phone, too. It's actually funny because I drive sometimes myself, and I know how easy it is to get distracted with all those irresistible gadgets like dual-zone heating systems and in-dash computers and satellite radio stations. I mean, what's so interesting about a pedestrian? Well, for one thing, I could pop out right in front of you when you least expect it, or I could be a kid chasing a dog. I could be in a hurry. Of course, I try to be safe. I use the crosswalks. I wait for the signal. I look both ways, and before I cross the street, I make eye contact to make sure you see me. But once in a while, either of us could make a mistake. So next time, let's, look out for each other.
A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. For more on driver and pedestrian safety, visit AAOS.org.
Nice seatbelt, by the way.
What are you doing for the rest of your life? If you were caught in layoffs or downsizing this summer, this might be the best time to think about a career change. The best way to make a change is to prepare for it through the educational program or institution best suited to you. The 7 educational opportunity centers in metropolitan St. Louis are conveniently located on both sides of the river. EOCs provide free services and information on post-secondary education. Start to help yourself through the central contact number of 1-800-875-5932.
My baby was born too early, and now he's struggling to stay alive. He's such a trooper. I know they're doing everything they can to save him.
More and more babies in America are being born dangerously early. So early their lives hang in the balance. Despite the best medical care, thousands don't get through the first month. Premature birth is growing at an alarming rate in the United States. 1 in every 8 births. For decades, the March of Dimes has saved babies by funding medical breakthroughs and by fighting for all babies to have access to the care they need. Help us stop the crisis of premature birth. For information or to help, go to marchofdimes.com. The baby we save may be your own.
20 years ago, my son wouldn't have survived. Now, he has a fighting chance.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't lie.
George W. Bush was the talking about.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
This morning at 7, Dr. Robert Jensen, professor of journalism at the University of Texas, will spend some time with Liz Brown talking about the media's handling of the hurricane disaster along the Gulf Coast. Why were white people moving through the floodwaters called survivors, but blacks were described as looters? When will white institutions look in the mirror honestly and admit they are part of the problem? Media Fairness with Professor Robert Jensen, this morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how comes this now? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how comes this now?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up and get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. If you want to fax me, 454-6609. If you want to listen on the World Wide Web, do that at www.wgnu.net. Apparently, over the weekend, there was the largest anti-war protest since Vietnam. And I think the best way, the best measurement of determining the size and the impact of the activity, the anti-war activity, is to measure the whereabouts of George W. Bush. If he ain't in town, then it must be big. That's how you measure the size of anything. If he's not around it, it must be huge. Hundreds of that, I mean, police have conceded. The Washington, D.C. police have conceded. Yeah, they met their goal of 100,000. And yeah, it looks like they went over that goal. There are people that are estimating 300,000 people attended. We're talking about grandmothers in wheelchairs, babies in strollers, military veterans in fatigues, protest veterans in tie-dye. It was the first time in 10 years that protest groups had a permit to march in front of the executive mansion. First time in 10 years. Are we seeing a crack? Are we seeing... George Bush has been flitting around. Well, okay, maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's not fair. He hasn't been flitting around. And I don't mean to sound like his movements are not as a result of some purpose from his perspective. George W. Bush has not been flitting. I take that back. George W. Bush's activity over this past weekend has been intentional, has been as a result of an agenda, engaged in his behavior as a result of a plan. And the plan and the agenda and the intent is governed by one thing and one thing only, or two words only. Cindy Sheehan. What's that phrase? Run, baby, run. It's not fair to say that George Bush is flitting, because his actions are intentional. He is not going to be in any place where Cindy Sheehan is. Where Cindy Sheehan is. And the fascinating thing about this is that Cindy Sheehan is doing things that the public is supposed to be doing. Cindy Sheehan is taking action that the public is supposed to be taking. Cindy Sheehan has walked up to Hillary Clinton and said, "You know what, Hill? If you don't come out here and advocate that the war end, then you won't have a job either." To some people, that is tantamount to political heresy. Not to me. I'm down with it. Ever since Hillary Clinton turned her backs on the Pink Ladies for Peace. Ever since Hillary Clinton supported, Hillary Clinton is advocating to send more troops to Iraq. Cindy Sheehan's action, and I hesitate to reduce this into one person because there's a danger in that. Cindy Sheehan didn't start the anti-war movement. Cindy Sheehan didn't start the anti-war protests. Cindy Sheehan was the first person to march to Washington, D.C. to express their outrage about an illegal, immoral, gluttonous war. And there's a danger in reducing it down to one personality, because if you take the personality out, then what's left of a movement if something happens to that person? Cindy Sheehan is doing what every American, or hundreds of thousands of Americans are doing over the weekend, expressing and demanding of their government that their government do what it is supposed to do. Hillary Clinton should be taken to task for supporting this war. Hillary Clinton should be taken to task for not advocating that we get out of this war. Hillary Clinton should be exposed for trying to do the moderate dance around this issue dance. Hillary Clinton should be exposed just like every other Democrat that is not doing what the people have sent them there to do. So boogie on, Cindy Sheehan, and the hundreds of thousands of other nameless people that joined her. And if you want to get a sense of where America is, there was an effort afoot to create a counter protest, is how they described it. It was cute. There were about 100 people there or so, 200 maybe. It was cute. And it's the thing that makes this country, the thing that this country is supposed to be about. There should have been counter-protest, protesters there. No problem with that. Boogie on as well. But the reality, but what the counter-protest demonstrate is that this support of this war is not the same as it was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 months ago. If you were only able to, if the Republican Party was only able to muster up a couple of hundred people to show that they were supporting this war, for once the polls appear to be right. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. get to me. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Ooh, I love this song. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Who had a dream? Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even when the darkness shall.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by General Motors OnStar. Southbound 270 on the ramp to eastbound Manchester. There's an accident involving tractor trailers. Traffic is getting by on the right lane. Westbound 40 at Jefferson. There's an object reportedly in the roadway. It appears to be a sign, and it's across the right and center lanes. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month for maintenance. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Germania, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Antire and 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between Long Road and Ballas, everything's flowing freely this hour. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel all the way into McKelvey, that looks good as well. Northbound 270 between Sappington and Big Bend, traffic is flowing freely. Westbound 270 from Lilac to New Florissant Road, look for no problems to report there as well. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, you've already have heavy volume going on. Westbound 5570 between 64 and Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, nothing to report. And westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything seems to be on the move as well. Also a note, northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect normal traffic. There was a cleared accident from the bridge ramp, so you should be looking good going onto the Poplar Street Bridge from northbound Route 3. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by GM OnStar. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family these safety and security you deserve. Just to push the button, and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar by GM. To learn more, visit OnStar.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, partly sunny, high around 80 this evening. Mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high around 80. Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. And on Wednesday, partly sunny with a 50% chance of showers. The high should be around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field has 70 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Bush administration wants to spend almost $500 million on private school vouchers for victims of Hurricane Katrina. Is this a time to try and promote a secret agenda on the backs of people who are already suffering? Why would you want to divert needed funds from public schools that are already willing and able to take in hurricane victims? Join Tanya Clay, Deputy Policy Director for People for the American Way, for a look at this divisive issue this morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Charles Gear and Lori Fulkerson provide a sounding board. Anywhere there's a computer, log on at WGNU.net.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenihan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
This morning at 7, Dr. Robert Jensen, professor of journalism at the University of Texas, will spend some time with Liz Brown talking about the media's handling of the hurricane disaster along the Gulf Coast. Why were white people moving through the floodwaters called survivors, but blacks were described as looters? When will white institutions look in the mirror honestly and admit they are part of the problem? Media Fairness with Professor Robert Jensen, this morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call, Carl.
Blessed to those who seek the truth and tell the truth. First, I'd like to give thanks and praise to the mighty Father himself for blessing me to be able to be here this very day to bear witness to everything that has taken place in this world. And I like to say, what does it take for one who speaks the truth and asks for help and pleads for help? But there is no one that wants to hear or listen or to come to his aid, to assist him. What must I do to get that? Could you help me, Liz?
Is this a rhetorical question?
This is a straight, truthful question. A straightforward question because I be pleading and I need help. I need someone to sit down and talk with me. I'm pleading from my heart. All I have been stripped from my family, been stripped from everything, and no one wants to believe the truth. Why? They say they believe in God and they stand up for righteousness, they stand for justice. But where is it? I don't see it. I plead and I'm asking for someone to please hear me, to talk to me, to talk with me, but they can see what I'm talking about. I talk to those who stand in the pulpit. They don't even understand. They don't even listen. They think that what I say is a game. I don't understand what's going on in this land. Can I get some assistance, please?
All right, Carl. Thanks for your call. We'll see what we can find. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
As I say, Ms. Brown, the truth will set you free. Thank God you're there to bring us the truth, Ms. Brown. I want to thank you, Ms. Brown, for pulling the covers off of Hillary Clinton. Yes, I'm sick of Hillary Clinton too, Miss Brown. Don't bring us Hillary in 08 neither, Miss Brown. Cindy Sheehan talked about Hillary too. Did you hear what she said about Hillary, Miss Brown, when she marched on Washington?
Yes, I did, but you tell her.
Miss Brown, what did she say? You might have to help remember. She said that you're going to have to tell the truth about she voted for the war, Miss Brown.
There are people out there. There are about 21 members of the Senate that did not support it.
Mm-hmm.
She was not one of them. And that the thing about it is that it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to believe George Bush and I'm going to let him have authority that I shouldn't be giving him. And it's another thing to 4 years later to be talking about we need to send more troops in there and not have a principled, a consistent position against this war. Mm-hmm. She needs to be held accountable.
Exactly, Ms. Brown. I'm glad Cindy Sheehan pulled the covers off Hillary. Like I said, Ms. Brown, this is too serious. Hillary, you stay in New York. We need somebody who's going to bring the Democrats back together to show these Republicans we mean business. We need a Democrat who's going to give us health care, Ms. Brown, and fix this country back where it used to be, Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown, you have a very beautiful day. Thank you again for pulling the colors off of Hillary Clinton.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Car phone, you're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Car phone.
This me?
That is you.
Good morning, Fabulous Liz Brown.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you doing today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Yes. ASCOC is having a meeting again today.
I'm sorry?
ASCOC is having a meeting again today.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see. I will get that book to you today if I can.
Okay.
Wake Up by Robert Bradley.
Very good.
Is it best to deliver it to you at the station or at the Delmar
Union? The station is fine.
Okay. You have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
How are you, Liz?
Clark, I'm outstanding. How are you?
That's good. Liz, I would rather be brief. Liz, God moves in mysterious ways. And I said once before, nature is the commander in chief. It will take quite a while before the concept seep in the national mind. Nature is the commander in chief. Other words, all of the history of this nation must be understood under race and class and diversity. Once you have a golf tournament called the President's Tournament, U.S., United States, and it's all men, they could have had on each of those teams one woman. They can hit a golf ball as well as a man can. And that would have really represented diversity. It angered me that they did not do so at that golf tournament. I want your opinion on it. Have a good day, Liz.
Thanks,
man. And, Liz.
Yes, Clark.
I wish I could marry you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget, you can toll-free long-distance me at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And as always, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I could to you. There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? But you simply...
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568. 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline London. Finance ministers at the International Monetary Fund are very close to adopting a resolution that would forgive billions of dollars worth of debt for poor countries. It'll still have to be ratified by the World Bank, the entity that lends much of the money to the poorer countries. But the finance ministers seem to have developed a way to pay for a debt write-off. This landmark measure would forgive about $40 billion worth of payments that 18 countries, most of them in Africa, owe the World Bank and the IMF. Some 20 other countries might qualify under certain conditions. That would bring the total to about $50 billion. That amount would be spread over the next 20 or 30 years. The countries could then use the money they're currently putting on servicing their debts to fight AIDS, diseases, or other aspects of poverty. Last Friday, the G8 nations agreed to cover the full cost to offset the write-off dollar for dollar. The IMF's 24-member executive board is to meet within the next month to formally approve this deal. And Dateline Colorado Springs. Because of Hurricane Rita, President Bush has canceled his planned trip to San Antonio, Texas, and will proceed directly to the Northern Command in Colorado Springs. It's believed the president wants to personally oversee a drill that concerns martial law takeover as part of something called Granite Shadow. This allows for emergency military operations without any accountability to civilian authorities. Normal protocol would dictate a cancellation of such practices during a time of crisis, but this one is being kept on the table. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Next, on Mondays at 9, a conversation with the president of Feminist Majority, Eleanor Smeal, regarding the nomination of Judge John Roberts as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. She says he's no women's rights savior, and his selection by the president puts women back in the token category. Don't miss Eleanor Smeal this morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
This morning at 7, Dr. Robert Jensen, professor of journalism at the University of Texas, will spend some time with Liz Brown talking about the media's handling of the hurricane disaster along the Gulf Coast. Why were white people moving through the floodwaters called survivors, but blacks were described as looters? When will white institutions look in the mirror honestly and admit they are part of the problem? Media Fairness with Professor Robert Jensen, this morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Boom, clack, boom, clack. I want a rim shot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey. Come on, a rim shot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey.
I said I need to hear the
rim shot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey. Come on, a rim shot.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Kathy, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Listen, I've noticed that there was not any mention of a Muslim contribution to the Katrina victims, either from this country or from any other country. And I have a list of them right quick. I'll read them for you if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
Okay. In all, the Muslims have contributed $1,055,000 to the complete thing. And the breakdown is Kuwait gave $1 million in cash, and they supplied $400 million in oil. Saudi Arabia gave $250 million. Qatar gave $100 million. Libya gave $100 million. Egypt gave $30 million. Algeria, $30 million. Tunisia, $10 million. The U.S. Muslims gave $10 million in all, and the Muslims who follow Imam Muhammad have centers all over the United States where they're collecting and giving even now. Jordan gave $5 million. I'm sorry, yes, Jordan gave $5 million. Egypt gave $5 million. Morocco gave $5 million. Bahrain gave $5 million. Lebanon gave $2 million. Pakistan gave $1 million. Bangladesh gave $1 million. Azerbaijan gave $500 million. And Afghanistan gave $100,000.
Wow.
So this is something that I've never heard, you know.
And, that's,
and I wonder where all of this money goes, why our people aren't getting it.
That, you know, that's an excellent question. That's an excellent. I'd like to know who they gave the money to.
Yes.
If they gave it to the International Red Cross, don't expect
folks
to be seeing much of it. I wish a lot of it had gone to the Black Mayors Association
under the
tutelage of Vanessa Williams, because then you can be assured that 100% of it goes to where it needs to go. I'm curious as to who they gave the money to, because there are too many African communities out there that have yet to see FEMA, have yet to see Red Cross, have yet to see any kind of resources, but their needs continue on every day.
Right.
Thanks for your call.
Keep on what you're doing, love.
All right.
Take care.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609. We have much to talk about. Every once in a while, I get a letter or an email from someone that kind of just touches my heart. And sometimes they're long letters, sometimes they're short letters. I got a letter from, and this is a letter that the contents of the letter is going to segue us into the next hour, but I got a letter from a Mrs. Sarah J. Stafford. And what's so wonderful about this is that she's 91 years old. Dear Liz, I am a 91-year-old woman. I listen to your show. I listen to you each morning when you are on. This article was sent to me by a Caucasian friend. I wanted you to see it. I am so very proud of you. You are the granddaughter I wish I had. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Sarah Stafford, African American. And the article that she sent to me is written by Frank Rich out of the New York Times. And it's an article that is entitled, I Care About Black Folks. And the first paragraph of it is this, and then I'm going to get to a couple more of my callers here. But Frank Rich writes, once Toto parts the curtain, the Wizard of Oz can never be the wizard again. He is forever Professor Marvel, blowhard, and snake oil salesman. Hurricane Katrina, which is likely to endure in the public psyche as long as L. Frank Baum's mythic tornado, has similarly unmasked George W. Bush. The worst storm in our history proved perfect for exposing this president, because in one big blast it illuminated all of his failings. The rampant cronyism, the empty sloganeering of a compassionate conservative, the lack of concern for the underprivileged, his mother condescended to at the Astrodome, the reckless lack of planning for all government operations except tax cuts, and the use of spin and photo ops to camouflage the failure and to substitute for action. He has been exposed. And no amount of jetting from Texas to from one state to from Texas to Colorado, back to Texas again, no amount of jetting can cover up the image of the curtain being pulled off for some, for many, of the emptiness of this administration. The no suit, what is that? All hat, no suit, something like that. This administration is foul. Well, they call it toe up from the flow up. It's just a foul administration. And no amount of free press that they got over the weekend of his quote-unquote engagement in Hurricane Rita disproves the emptiness and the inability and the disconnect and the disdain that this administration has for all of us. Unless your last name is Halliburton. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yes, you're on the air. I can hear you breathing. You're on the air. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, there's a way to do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. There is some exciting news out here. Everybody needs to be held accountable. For the first time in history, an African-American group has graded the Congressional Black Caucus's legislative performance on a curve that reflects the black political consensus. The results were startling. Harold Ford registered only a 5% positive grade. Based on his votes on 9 bright line issues that came before him in the legislative session. David Scott, the black congressman from suburban Atlanta, did little better. He rated 10%. Ford and Scott led the field of what the CBC monitor called the derelicts of the CBC. They are derelict in their duties to their black constituency, says Letitia Stills, who oversaw the study of the CBC's legislative behavior this year. The CBC monitor is based on black people's political views. Other organizations rate legislators in ways that dilute black American opinions, that discount our view of the world.
Jared Ball, a Washington-based journalist who called the CBC Monitor into existence, insists that accountability is paramount. There are now 43 black representatives in Congress. One of them is a senator. They need to be held to a standard. That's what the CBC Monitor does, establish a standard. Y'all know Jared Ball. He's been on the wake-up call many times. And our Looking Black segment, we'll have to have him on to talk about the CBC Monitor. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We're going to be talking to Dr. Robert Jensen, journalism professor from the University of Texas, when we come back to talk about the George Bush's mama and other white response to Africans in America. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Convicted of conspiracy to commit murder in connection with the 9/11 attacks 4 years ago. Two other defendants were acquitted. A presidential motorcade heads from the White House to the Energy Department this morning, where President Bush will get a briefing on the country's energy outlook in the wake of two big hurricanes. Gulf Coast oil refineries are still standing after Hurricane Rita hit over the weekend.
There were 16 refineries in the path of the storm. Only two suffered any damage, so we can all breathe a collective sigh of relief.
But ABC News financial contributor Melody Hobson says we may see a spike into $3 a gallon territory while refineries shut down because of the storm get back online. New Orleans officials are urging residents to be careful out there as they return to their neighborhoods. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky is in New Orleans.
The general feeling among the power brokers here is the city will not survive unless citizens have a hand in rebuilding it. So even though conveniences are few and services like 911 are non-existent, residents of certain neighborhoods will be allowed in as soon as today. Not everyone, though, is expected back. Even the mayor, who has been pushing for repopulation, has suggested the elderly and families with children wait.
ABC's Aaron Kuchersky. Vicki Trahan returned to her flooded-out home in Carlos, Louisiana, where she'd been left her dogs.
We have nothing left. This is all we had.
Their husband pried open the front door and...
Yes! He just got her. Thank you so much.
The two dogs were rescued. In other news, 500 prisoners will be released today from the Abu Ghraib jail near Baghdad. 500 more will be let go over the rest of the week. And the Senate begins debate this afternoon on John Roberts' nomination as Chief Justice. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
John here. I'm running late. Construction at the tunnel.
The road to your business meeting is filled with obstacles.
Me again. I'm stuck on second. Nice parade.
Why not web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have productive meetings without leaving the office? Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll. Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/getlive. That's Microsoft.com/getlive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
It's going to be a while.
John Gotti Jr., who allegedly used to head the Gambino mob family, will be in Manhattan federal court today for a hearing on his request for bail. ABC's Lisa Colagrassi reports.
Gotti had expected to spend the rest of his life in prison, but the former head of the Gambino crime family caught a break last week. His racketeering trial ended with an acquittal for security fraud and a hung jury on other charges. Those included the allegation Gotti ordered the 1992 kidnapping and shooting of Guardian Angels founder Curtis Sliwa.
Gotti's lawyer proposes his client be released on $4.6 million bond. People magazine says Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher's weekend wedding was a spur-of-the-moment affair.
It was planned absolutely at the last minute, pretty much within the last 24 hours of the ceremony taking place.
Associate L.A. Bureau Chief Julie Jordan. Moore and Kutcher have been a couple for 2 years. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by Mr. Good Sense Subs and Pastas. Two teenagers are behind bars, and the investigation continues following an attack on a Kirkwood pizza delivery driver. Police say warrants were issued on 19-year-old Damian Pullum of St. Louis and 17-year-old Kenny Johnson of Kirkwood for robbing and assaulting a female Emo's pizza delivery driver in Meacham Park last Thursday. The two faced charges of armed criminal action and first-degree robbery, first-degree assault, and forcible sodomy. Bond for each suspect is set at $500,000. If you have helped with Hurricane Katrina relief efforts, you may be eligible for tax credits. Kathy Burleson of H&R Block says new legislation allows you to deduct any out-of-pocket expenses, including mileage incurred, with helping hurricane victims. Additionally, there is a $500 tax deduction if you open your home to displaced Hurricane Katrina survivors. For more information, call 1-800-HR-BLOCK or visit www.hrblock.com. People with lupus might want to think about getting a flu shot. A recent study by the University of Missouri suggests that this shot may actually help to prevent infections, while traditionally a flu shot was thought to make the disease flare up. Sarah Walker of the university's Arthritis Rehabilitation Research and Training Center explains what the flu can do to a lupus patient.
It can cause a very serious viral infection, and unfortunately it can open the way for other infections such as pneumonia. The medication we give to treat lupus and also the lupus itself make it hard to treat infection.
Lupus is an autoimmune disease that can lead to the body destroying its own organs. Walker encourages those with lupus to get a flu shot to remain current with other inoculations. Walker also says that those with lupus should be vaccinated with a shot and not with a nasal spray form. And finally, Grand Center is continuing to grow. Grand Center officials have announced that Pyramid Construction will be the developer for the Metropolitan Building. Peg Weathers, the executive vice president of the Grand Center, says new condos going into the building will be a great addition for the area. The building will include approximately 70 for-sale condos that range in price from $125,000 to $415,000. Mr. Good Sense is now serving hot ones. Try the hot roast beef and cheddar, hot pastrami and Swiss, or the hot Philly Jack cheese steak sub. Mr. Good Sense Subs and Pastas, home of the hot ones. Serving hot ones at all 14 locations. That's the news for the 7 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. Southbound 270 on the ramp to Manchester, that accident's been cleared. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work. Northbound 55 between 270 and Virginia, no problems reported there. Eastbound 44 between Bowles all the way into 270, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 is heavy from Maryville Center all the way into Mason. Eastbound 70 from 370 to the Earth City Expressway, traffic is flowing freely. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry on to Big Bend, look for stop-and-go traffic this hour. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for a very heavy volume going on. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for slow traffic going on there as well. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Lindbergh, you've got slow volume. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, and you have stop and go traffic going on. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split looks good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way on to Laclede's Landing. Everything's running smoothly, as well as northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. Barnes Jewish Hospital offering second opinions on any heart procedure or lung surgery. Call 314-TOP-DOCS. Are you connected? Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday, partly sunny skies today, high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s for Tuesday. Pretty much the same, mostly sunny, high around 80. Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a 50% chance of showers. The high should be around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding steady at 70 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is showing 69 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Bush administration wants to spend almost $500 million on private school vouchers for victims of Hurricane Katrina. Is this a time to try and promote a secret agenda on the backs of people who are already suffering? Why would you want to divert needed funds from public schools that are already willing and able to take in hurricane victims? Join Tanya Clay, Deputy Policy Director for People for the American Way, for a look at this divisive issue this morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. As a person of African descent, as a person who not only experiences what it is like to be African in America on a daily basis, I'm also one of those people that, as painful as it is, I have my eyes wide open to this. I read on it. I study on it. I live it. And I'm not the only one by any stretch of the imagination. There are millions of us out here like this. And to those that have their eyes open, their finger on the pulse, their eyes and ears open to how race plays out in this country, even though we are not sitting white-knuckled on the roller coaster ride of this country. I don't know any black folks that are white-knuckled. But we still hear it, we see it, and we experience it. So when Kanye West, brave baby that he is, looked into the eye. Again, I think one of the reasons why Kanye West's words got out there is because white America wasn't paying any attention. If they had heard, if they had paid attention to what he said when they threw it back to him, they would have never had the mic on. But even then, when Kanye was leading up to his now famous George Bush doesn't care about black people, if they had been paying attention, they would have known that that statement was coming. They were listening for cuss words. They had their finger on the button for cuss words, and instead the truth came out, and white America didn't see it coming. And according to the polls, white America is still unwilling to pay attention. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about that. And I have a guest this morning to help facilitate that conversation. I have a frequent guest to the wake-up call, Dr. Robert Jensen, journalism professor, University of Texas. He's joining us from Austin, Texas, to talk about the new white people's burden. Take a hard look in the mirror. Dr. Jensen, good morning.
Good. Glad to be with you, Liz.
It's a pleasure to have you. Should have seen this coming, huh?
Well, as you point out, of course, the African-American population not only saw it coming, but lives it. It's white America that's in, I would just describe, kind of a fundamental state of denial about the reality of the history of this country and the reality of contemporary life. When will that change? Will Katrina and the aftermath be part of a series of events that change that? I don't think there's any prediction. I think that's a question for action more than prediction in that sense.
Do you see it? Do you feel it in the halls of academia? Do you see it? Do you feel it within the white community? Because the polls are showing that, you know, the white folks are saying, no, the response to Katrina would have been the same as if it had happened in Nantucket.
Well, certainly, just take my own classes at the University of Texas in Austin. While Austin is often seen as a more liberal than the rest of the state of Texas, it's still a white-dominant culture and town and university, not that much different. Certainly, there were white students who, in discussions about this in class, quickly went to and understood the racial and class dimensions of what happened in Katrina. Others were incredulous or resistant to that analysis. In other words, in the white community, there's a range of beliefs. But if you look at the polls, as you point out, black America, for instance, in one of the most important polls done after Katrina, clearly saw racial inequality as a major problem. In one poll, 71% said the disaster showed that. 56% of the whites said, no, that wasn't a particularly important lesson. So the gap is quite clear. My own view is that this event, I think it would be naive to think one event is going to fundamentally change the nature of this. White denial of this is rooted in a system that gives to white people privilege, and whether they actively want to retain that privilege or, in a sense, passively want to ignore the reality of it, I don't think this is going to fundamentally change anything.
Now, I appreciate the fact that you're in Texas, but tell me how Barbara Bush's comment either exacerbated or were ignored by some of your same students and the white community. I mean, was that revealed for what it was?
Well, Barbara Bush's comment was probably one of the most, I don't know, obscene in the whole aftermath of Katrina. For those who don't remember, what she said while touring the Astrodome in Houston, which was, of course, full of people evacuated from the New Orleans area, she said, well, these people were underprivileged to begin with, and therefore this is, I think the phrase was, working very well for them.
That's right.
As if people who do live in poverty can somehow be grateful that they're herded into a sports stadium and are forced to live there. She used the term underprivileged, and as Tim Wise, a very good white writer on questions of race, has pointed out over and over again, what Barbara Bush would never say is that she's overprivileged. Mm-hmm. And that comment, of course, reveals what it means to be overprivileged. And if there is an underprivileged class of people in a society, it probably means there's an overprivileged class, and Barbara Bush exemplifies that. Now, what was the reaction in white America? Well, there were media people who realized how grotesque that statement was and did give it some attention. But it pretty much passed, and the Bush administration felt no obligation to condemn the not only the racism, but the kind of ugly class politics in the president's mother's comments. Again, I think it reveals that in a white supremacist society, you can get away with this kind of stuff, and there's really no consequence to it.
And while I appreciate it and can fathom the agreements that come from similarly situated white folks like Barbara Bush, the other part of it is that most white America will never be economically situated like Barbara Bush, and yet and still they don't respond to this either, because this is about class as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's an interesting question. And, of course, it's been a question that's plagued the United States almost since its beginning. Why do white folks who are not economically privileged...
And never will be.
Because capitalism doesn't allow for a large group of privileged people. Capitalism, by definition, requires a large kind of underclass to support the overprivileged. So, why do white people who are working class or poor not make alliances with other groups, whether it's people of African descent or immigrant workers? Why not make that alliance and try to claim their rightful share of the resources of this country? Well, that's where the particularly bizarre racial politics of the United States come in. We all know the history that the slave owners originally understood that indentured servants, white working class people, could possibly ally with not only slaves and free blacks, but with indigenous people, and that would be a threat to the power of those landowning aristocrats. And they created a system of racial supremacy, which, in one scholar's phrase, offered the wages of whiteness to white people. That is, you don't get your fair share of the material resources, but you get a psychological benefit, which is to believe yourself superior. And, of course, the cruel joke of that is that white supremacist notion not only doesn't deliver material resources to the large percentage of the white population, but it also deforms us as white people psychologically. It makes us literally crazy. James Baldwin pointed this out in the 1960s in an essay that I quote from in my book, that brilliant insight that however bad it is for blacks in the South, he said, the white Southerner, his or her mind is so twisted by this bizarre white supremacy, this notion that whatever else is wrong in their lives, at least they're white. Psychologically, that's crippling. So, in that sense, poor and working class white people are kind of doubly, targeted in that they don't get what they deserve materially. And then they also have to deal with this bizarre conception of white supremacy that leads to really a kind of madness, I think.
And I guess the madness, is it the madness that
turns ears into tin. You refer to two examples in your article, New White People's Burden, Take a Hard Look in the Mirror, about the speech at the Rose Garden in 2004 when he was when George Bush was talking about that democracy would come to Iraq over time. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I thought that was an important moment because, you know, we make fun of George Bush because he mangles the English language. But this is one time where he kind of revealed what I think a lot of white America really thinks. So when this is when Bush was in an allegedly kind of magnanimous fashion was saying that he believed Iraq could form a democratic government, that anybody around the world can form a democratic government, that it's not a function of, you know, being an American or something like that, that we're all people and we can all be democratic. And he says so he believes that people whose skins are a different color than ours can be democratic too. Well, what does that signal? That signals that, if he hasn't looked around, there's no one color of skin in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But the default color in the United States, of course, is white. And what George Bush was really saying is, listen, we're a white country.
Yeah.
Okay, now we come out of Northern Europe and all of our institutions were fashioned by white people. And it doesn't matter to George Bush and to most of white America that we're a multicultural, multiracial, and multiethnic society. It doesn't matter that the material wealth of this country was to a large degree built by the work of non-white people, because in the last analysis to George Bush, and I think to much of white America, we're a white country. That's what defines us. There was actually an amazing article written by a Harvard political scientist named Samuel Huntington that said, listen, if we allow too much Latino immigration into this country, we may still be the United States in some sort of technical sense, but we'll cease to be the country we are because we'll no longer be a white English-speaking country. Well, this is just a way of
Wait a minute. This is a
Harvard political scientist. He wrote this in a very well-respected.
Did he write this in 1752?
No, he wrote it 2 years ago. It's part of a bigger book, and in fact, in his case, it's part of a whole theory about how the world works, and the world works because white Northern Europeans constructed democratic institutions and free market capitalism in his mind. Sorry to do this to you, Liz, but that's the way Harvard political scientists sometimes work.
Well, tell me again why weren't there two black, wasn't it Cornel West, wasn't he with Harvard? And didn't he do a little rap thing?
Yeah, but what we're getting at here is this under, and the reason Samuel Huntington can write that and he's not run out of Harvard as an overt racist, the reason he can say, listen, if people in the U.S. speak Spanish too much, we're going to lose our distinctive character as the United States. The reason he can fuse English-speaking whiteness with a fundamental notion of what it means to be an American is because I think that's a point of view that's widely held and deeply rooted in white America, that whatever happened in this country, whoever came here, and it's always a concept of non-white people coming here, of course, even though it was white Europeans who came in the first place, exterminated indigenous people to create the country, then, you know, brought in African slaves. All of this history doesn't matter because in the end, to white America, the U.S. is a white country. And so when George Bush says, listen, people who don't have our skin color can be democratic, what he's saying is the default skin color of the United States is white. And the rest of you who are here, well, you're citizens of the United States. You know, Liz, you're a citizen of the United States, yes? You would travel on a U.S. passport, yes?
Yes.
But are you an American? That is, in the eyes of white America, are you really an American? That's the fundamental question. And when white people like George Bush, and I don't want to pick on him, he just happens to be the president, he's easy to pick on. When people say that, what they reveal is an underlying fusion of white and American. And other people can come and will let you be citizens, but, you know, are you really American in some central concept? I think that's at the heart of this white supremacist notion.
What is at the heart of the resistance or the refusal to say it out loud? I mean, if George W. Bush believes in his heart of hearts, and I believe that he does because his mother believes that way, that the hours in this country refers to white skin and not to anybody else's skin but white skin, and if other white Americans believe that, what's the resistance to saying it? Then just say it.
Well, you know, here's where I think, although we have to acknowledge we've made great progress on the question of race and justice in this country in my lifetime. I was born in 1958, let's say. In 1958, this was still a segregated country. You could have legal segregation. And the fact that now the entire African population in the United States, people of African descent, are fully enfranchised, as long as you don't look too closely at Florida and a couple of other places. But generally, you know, that transition to a full citizenship, I think, is a great accomplishment. It was done through the efforts of ordinary people in the civil rights movement, and we shouldn't trivialize that. That's important. At the same time, we can see these other, you know, bubbling, not too subtle indications that in some way things haven't changed that much. And what I think is so debilitating right now is because we've come to this polite place in society where polite people, you know, as long as you're not a member of the Klan and you're part of polite society and you're white, you don't say things out loud that people in Mississippi in 1958 would have said. You don't express open racial ideas like this. But they're still floating out there. And in some sense, because we've become polite and we don't say these things out loud, in some ways they're more insidious because they continue to inform the way white America sees the world. But now they're sort of underground. And they come out when people like George Bush say things without intending to indicate what they mean, but really revealing what they mean. And in that sense, I think we've lost ground because the conversation has become coded in some sense.
Well, it's not only is it coded, Professor Jensen, but it is also, it provides the evidence or the proof that things are all right, you know, when things are not all right. You know, if you're denying this, or if you're not talking about it, if since the signs are down, then everything is all right, or that problems have been fixed and issues have been resolved.
Well, certainly in the mail I receive in response to the new book and excerpts that are being published from it, that's truly the case. What white America is desperate to believe, and of course I don't mean every single white person when I say white America. I mean the dominant thrust of this country's white majority. I think what it reveals is that people are desperate to believe that the gains of the civil rights movement have eliminated white supremacy and racism. And therefore, white America can enjoy the fruits of white supremacy without guilt. I think that's really what's going on. Now, if you look at the...
And we have to take a break. So if you could hold that thought, please. I have this desire in me, that, Professor Jensen, to write a book called "Put the Signs Back Up." I want the signs back up. Yeah. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. We'll be back.
But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work. Northbound 55 between Union and Potomac, no problems report. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way to Lindbergh, everything is on the move. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for a slow volume going on there. Eastbound 70 between Cave Springs and Earth City Expressway, nothing to report. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Big Bend is stop and go still. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to to 55, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, slow volume going on there as well. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way into West Florissant. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow volume going on there. Westbound 64 between Bow Avenue and 5570 split. It is slow as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for everything to be on the move this hour. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems to report there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. Barnes Jewish Hospital offering second opinions on heart procedures and lung surgeries. For more information, call 314-TOP-DOCS. Are you connected? Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly sunny skies today, high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low around the upper 50s. For Tuesday, pretty much the same, mostly sunny, high around 80. Tuesday evening, mostly clear, lower around the upper 50s as well. And Wednesday, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Next on Mondays at 9, a conversation with the president of Feminist Majority, Eleanor Smeal, regarding the nomination of Judge John Roberts as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. She says he's no women's rights savior, and his selection by the president puts women back in the token category. Don't miss Eleanor Smeal this morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
The Bush administration wants to spend almost $500 million on private school vouchers for victims of Hurricane Katrina. Is this a time to try and promote a secret agenda on the backs of people who are already suffering? Why would you want to divert needed funds from public schools that are already willing and able to take in hurricane victims? Join Tanya Clay, Deputy Policy Director for People for the American Way, for a look at this divisive issue this morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, made me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. I am talking to Dr. Robert Jensen, journalism professor, University of Texas. He's joining us from Austin, Texas, and we're talking about white America's response to Katrina and the differences and the inability to see or refusal to see what's in front of folks' eyes. Dr. Jensen, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Liz.
What were some of the things that did you know, did you see it from the beginning, the issues of race as it played out in the Hurricane Katrina? What did you see?
Well, I don't have a lot of experience in New Orleans, but I've been there. I've traveled there really briefly. And the thing that struck me, and this was a couple of years ago when I was in New Orleans, was how the poverty and the racialized nature of that poverty is so apparent. I was there for a conference and stepped out of the hotel, and you don't have to go to a specific part of town to see it. It's everywhere. And I was struck by the image I had had of New Orleans prior to that, which was of, you know, a party town, the way that New Orleans is sort of lives in the minds of America. And I thought, how can that image exist so easily with what I'm seeing? So when I first heard about New Orleans and about Katrina and about what was happening, I immediately went back to my own admittedly very limited experience, but an experience that was so, it seems to me, so clear. So in that sense, I wasn't surprised. I think...
Well, what did you see? When you saw New Orleans, what did you see?
Well, I saw that even in the hotel district where I was staying, that you could literally walk a block in any direction, and you saw the material evidence of a segregated society and the racialized disparities in wealth and well-being. You saw... When you were in a predominantly black section, the quality of the infrastructure went down. You know, it was just so obvious.
And wasn't the poverty in New Orleans just breathtaking?
Yes. I mean, you know, a quarter of the people in New Orleans, or was it more than a quarter, lived under the poverty line? I mean, it's striking that you can have an American city, in a fairly wealthy American city, an American city that is distinctive and held up as sort of some unique part of American culture, in which this level of poverty goes on. Of course, you can say that about most major American cities, maybe not as dramatic as it was in New Orleans. And, of course, you can say it about the world, because if we step outside the boundaries of the United States, we see the racialized nature of poverty worldwide. We see the really dire situation in Africa right now, which was, of course, not a natural occurrence. Africa is impoverished not because of some, you know, act of God, but because of hundreds of years of European colonialism, which devastated the continent and still leaves it under the economic domination of Europe and the United States. We know that 500 children an hour die in Africa because of poverty-related diseases. It's a statistic that still takes my breath away. It's from the United Nations Development Project, the UNDP. 500 children in Africa an hour die because of poverty-related diseases, which could be easily eradicated with a minimal investment by the world. Okay, that's the nature of the world we live in. New Orleans, in some sense, is nothing special, although it's a particularly concentrated and dramatic example of that in the United States. So when the evacuation of New Orleans began, it was quite clear it was going to have a class and race character to it, not just because of the poverty, of course, but because of the wholly inadequate level of planning that went on. And here, I don't think we can just target George Bush and the federal government. I think it's from the city government through the state up to the federal government with, in this case, I think the federal government having a majority of the responsibility. But, you know, the point has been made over and over again. If you have an evacuation plan based on private automobiles and a significant portion of your population does not own an automobile, you have consigned that portion of your population to vulnerability and some number of them to death. Now, that's just a simple fact. It may seem harsh, but that's the reality.
But also the reality is that you had the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, the Secretary Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, none of them turning their collective heads to pay attention, that they didn't even come up off of a vacation. Condoleezza Rice is buying $1,000 shoes in New York, and that's to me, the fact that that is not constantly on the out of the mouths of people. It's not that he didn't respond. It's that he didn't come off of didn't think it necessary to come up off of vacation because of this.
Well, I think you're making a point that should be, as you point out, in the front of our minds every moment. And the response of the Bush administration then to Hurricane Rita was so clearly constructed with that in mind. How do we recover some notion that George Bush is really a human being by making sure he goes into Texas and is sleeping at the command center so we know he's on the job? I mean, the whole thing, Liz, let's face it, is kind of a sick joke. It's the manipulation of public images. I don't know. It gives me a kind of a creepy feeling that I don't even know how to describe. But certainly what you say is honest, and if we did care about holding people accountable, the media would have, for instance, made that a much more, I think, front and center kind of story. But, after mentioning it a couple of times, media people are way too polite in this country. In fact, this whole country is too polite. And in fact, maybe we should have a campaign against politeness. Of course, I don't mean against politeness in terms of being civil to each other in certain ways, but against the kind of polite suppression of some of these very harsh realities you're talking about.
Well, I even have difficulty relegating it to politeness, because there's a certain self-preservation and self-interest involved in that. that there's a reason why a lot of folks, a lot of white folks, do not talk about that. It's because they hold the thought of this is our country, and that's one of the issues that you deal with in your article, that you talk about in your article. What do white Americans do with those who share the country but who are not white?
Yeah. So, well, let's look at the major non-white groups in the country today.
Could you hold that thought, please? Because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Dr. Robert Jensen, journalism professor, University of Texas. He's joining us from Austin, Texas. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. Please stay with us.
Dancers, 183,574 gardeners, 98 penguin buffs. Match.com has 15 million passionate people, including the one for you. And not just more people, more of the right people. More serious relationships start here than anywhere else in the world. Visit Match.com today and get started with our 3-day free trial. See site for offer details.
Hi, friends. Heloise here for CitraCal Calcium Citrate. I'm going to get personal with today's hint by sharing with you something I do for myself every day. I take CitraCal, and you should too. CitraCal gives your body the calcium it needs so it doesn't have to rob the calcium stored in your bones. CitraCal helps prevent osteoporosis. For something as important as good bone health, please don't settle for store brands. Insist on CitraCal. Be a CitraCal gal like me.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Berlin. A report out of Germany says that one of the passengers that was supposed to have died in the airplane that crashed into the Pentagon on September 11, 2001, has been arrested in Germany.
Former Fox TV news commentator Barbara Olson was said to have called her husband from the hijacked plane before it was crashed into the Pentagon. Olson was said to be in custody at a town on the border between Poland and Germany and was carrying millions of dollars worth of fake Italian currency as well as a fraudulent passport issued by the Vatican. If this person does indeed turn out to be the Barbara Olson that was supposed to have been on the plane, she could conceivably be charged with being a conspirator to obstruction of justice in the investigation of the events of 9/11. There has been some question raised about what actually did hit the Pentagon that morning, because the large jet airliner that was said to have impacted the building only managed to create an opening less than 20 feet in diameter. Parts that were identified as being common with those on a missile mounted on an A-3 Sky Warrior attack jet were also said to be found at the Pentagon crash site. Experts say it is odd that the wings seem to cause no damage to outside walls, and it's also peculiar how the soft nose of a 757 could penetrate through three rings of the Pentagon so effectively. No independent aircraft experts were ever permitted to examine the crash site, as federal officials covered all parts of the wreckage and carted it all off to an undisclosed location. The FBI even confiscated tapes of the crash that were caught by a gas station security camera, as well as one from a nearby Sheraton hotel and a Virginia Transportation Department freeway mounted camera. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Next, on Mondays at 9, a conversation with the president of Feminist Majority, Eleanor Smeal, regarding the nomination of Judge John Roberts as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. She says he's no women's rights savior, and his selection by the president puts women back in the token category. Don't miss Eleanor Smeal this morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
This is AM 920, WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
The Bush administration wants to spend almost $500 million on private school vouchers for victims of Hurricane Katrina. Is this a time to try and promote a secret agenda on the backs of people who are already suffering? Why would you want to divert needed funds from public schools that are already willing and able to take in hurricane victims? Join Tanya Clay, Deputy Policy Director for People for the American Way, for a look at this divisive issue this morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake-Up Call. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. I am talking to Dr. Robert Jensen, journalism professor, University of Texas, joining us from Austin, Texas. And Dr. Jensen, welcome back. You were starting to describe the non-white population of the United States.
Well, the hypocrisy and literally the insanity of how white America sees this is easily seen when you just walk through the different groups. First of all, indigenous people, you know, Native Americans, American Indians. The United States was formed by the extermination, the almost completely successful extermination of these people. So the founding act of U.S. history is white Europeans coming here and beginning a process of literally eliminating almost an entire population group. It's a crime of proportions of, you know, almost unmatched in recorded human history. That's where we start the discussion. Then you look at the three dominant non-white population groups, African Americans, Asian Americans, Latinos. Well, there's this constant dialogue in white America about how the problem with non-white people is they're lazy, right? Okay, well, let's look at that. African Americans brought over as slaves, the labor of African people built the Industrial Revolution in this country. For much of the history of this country, working in menial jobs denied the rights that should have been given to the freed slaves. The labor of African Americans and its contribution to building this country is almost uncharitable. Think about Asian Americans. Many of the first Asians who came to the United States worked on the railroad, often worked under incredibly horrific conditions, treated like animals. The expansion of the United States very much tied to the exploitation of Asian labor. And of course, Mexican Americans, Chicanos, Latinos, Hispanics, whatever term you wanted to use to describe these varied populations, work harder than most Americans, white Americans, can ever dream of. If you think of the way in which Latino immigrant populations come to this country and work in agriculture, work in the service industries, do jobs that white Americans of my class, the middle class, you know, the professional class, wouldn't imagine doing themselves. In fact, most of my peers wouldn't imagine their own children doing work like this. Okay. You've got this really dementia in white America that says, well, the problem with these non-white folks is that they're lazy. When in fact, the story of America is very much the story of non-white labor building a country and then having that labor, of course, exploited by white America. The whole thing, Liz, I hate to keep using the word crazy, but the whole thing is kind of crazy when you step back and look at it.
And what's also crazy is the refusal to talk about it, the refusal to acknowledge it, and the anger that is directed at anyone that does want to talk about it.
And here I think we have to look at what may seem like an odd concept, but the fear of white people.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first glance you'd say, listen, white people run things. Why, what do they got to be afraid of? After all, it's people of African descent who, when they are stopped by a cop, usually have, you know, reasons to be afraid. When I get stopped by a cop, I don't, you know, I may be pissed off because I'm getting a ticket. There may be any number of things I feel, but I'm usually not afraid. But in fact, white people are very fear-driven, and I think that comes whenever you're in a privileged class and you know that a lot of that privilege is unearned. And I think what drives white people's inability to talk about it is a fear, and that fear has a lot of components. It's a fear that you all might take away some of our stuff. You know, when you get people with a lot of stuff, they get kind of paranoid about somebody taking it away. I also think there's a fear in white people of having to acknowledge that they haven't shed their own racist training. I certainly know that I struggle as someone who was born and raised in white America, had all of that training. I mean, I can feel myself get nervous when I think that maybe remnants of that racist training are still alive in me. But as you point out, the only way through that kind of problem is to face it, to confront it. But white America is, for the most part, insulated from that. There's no one or no group that can really hold white America accountable at this point. And that's why I think the work for white folks who want to be part of a movement for racial justice is not just to make alliances with non-white people and to work in movements, let's say, against police brutality or something like that, but also to confront each other, which is why I wrote this book, The Heart of Whiteness, because it's aimed, there's nothing in that book you don't already know, Liz, so you don't even have to bother to read it. It's stuff that's obvious to you, I would suspect. But it's really a challenge to white America, and by extension, a challenge to myself to be better than I am. And that's where I think the work is for us.
And that's what I say on my show, Dr. Jensen. It's
white folks got to talk to white folks about this. Yep. The white folks know what white folks do in their neighborhoods, in their discussions. They know what goes on at work. They know what decisions are being made, and they know why the decisions are being made. And white folks have to talk to white folks about this.
And I think it's why white folks hate to hear another white person say this, because you know what happens when an African-American critiques white supremacy. Oh, she's just angry. I don't know how many thousands of times you must have heard this in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But when another white person says, listen, this is what white supremacy looks like to me, it makes white people a little crazy again, because in that case, you can't just dismiss it as the ramblings of, you know, people who are bitter. You have to look another white person in the eye and say, well, I don't think you're right. You have to make an argument, and that's where white people tend to flee from the discussion. So it's not just a question of confronting white people, which is part of it, but it's how we can create conversations that white people won't flee from. It's a tough political problem, but like many political problems in this world today, it's a balancing act.
And Dr. Jensen, is your book out?
It is. It's from City Lights Press out of San Francisco. And again, it's really a book meant to be read by ordinary people. I'm an academic, but it's not an academic book. It's from the heart in that sense, and I hope people will take it as my best attempt to be honest about race in this country.
Dr. Robert Jensen, journalism professor, University of Texas, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, it's always great to be with you, Liz. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We have much, much more to talk about. Please, please, stay with us.
I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush leaves the White House in about an hour for a briefing at the Energy Department on the impact of the hurricanes on the country's energy supplies.
It is more than gasoline lines worrying the president and Washington energy officials. There are now fears of natural gas shortages heading into the cold months that could be severe and expensive.
ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton. Helicopters are once again dropping half-ton sandbags onto weak spots and gaps in the New Orleans levees. The leaks have to be stopped before the new flooding from Hurricane Rita can be pumped out. ABC's Chris Cuomo is there.
While the flooding wasn't dramatic, it was still enough to completely cripple communities. The advantage here is that the people have largely left. So the work is of repair, not of rescue. The only thing being rescued are the levees.
Mayor Ray Nagin wants residents to return to the neighborhoods that have dried out. Police roadblocks are still up around Port Arthur, Texas. Officials don't want anyone to return until the roads are cleared of tree limbs and the power is back on. Guilty of conspiracy to commit murder in the 9/11 attacks. That's the sentence today in a Madrid courtroom. ABC's Linda Albin reports from the Foreign Desk.
Sitting behind bulletproof glass, Imad Barakat Yarkas is the first defendant here in Europe to be convicted in connection with the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The Syrian-born alleged leader of Al-Qaeda in Spain was sentenced to 27 years in prison for his part in helping to arrange a meeting between Mohammed Atta, the pilot of the first plane to hit the World Trade Center, and Ramzi bin al-Shib, an alleged plotter currently in U.S. custody. Two other co-conspirators were acquitted.
ABC's Linda Albin at the Foreign Desk in London. And trial begins today in Pennsylvania, where a school district is defending its requirement that ninth graders be taught the intelligent design theory of evolution. Critics complain that theory is the Bible account of creation. This is ABC News.
Oh, that morning alarm hurts even more with arthritis pain. I gotta take something. But these days, where do you turn for relief of minor arthritis pain? Well, my doctor recommended Advil. Even after 20 years, no over-the-counter pain reliever has been proven stronger or to last longer on tough pain than Advil. Not Tylenol, not Aleve. And it's gentle on your stomach. That alarm is less alarming with Advil. Advil. Fast, strong, trusted.
Use as directed for occasional pain only. Do not exceed 10 days. Talk to your doctor if pain persists.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4, $6, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
Plans are moving ahead for this week's big race in the Nevada desert, but don't look for any humans behind the wheel.
The prize has doubled to $2 million cash by the Defense Department in the second annual 150-mile race across the Nevada desert. No humans allowed, only robots. The military's trying to speed development of unmanned combat vehicles. Corporations to garage tinkerers are welcome. The semifinal leg kicks off Wednesday. Last year's inaugural contest ended shortly after it began.
I've got such a bad case of dust contamination, I can barely move.
When the robots careened off course.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Or suddenly stalled.
Energy cell exhausted.
One even got tangled in barbed wire.
I'm sorry, Dave.
No, Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Muriel Saunders is one of five finalists for Homecoming Queen at Northeastern State University in Oklahoma. She was nominated by two other grad students and has been campaigning ever since. Saunders, who's working toward a master's in communications, is 71. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Traffic Law Hotline. A Metro East shopping center is cleaning up after a fire broke out yesterday. Fire crews were called to the St. Clair Square shopping center at approximately 10:30 Sunday morning after flames were reported. Three stores sustained damage, and no one was injured in the incident. Opponents say the closure of the Bell Fountain Habilitation Center say they will continue to fight. Hundreds showed up for a rally Friday afternoon to speak out on why this state-run facility for the mentally disabled should stay open. Governor Matt Blunt says there have been 233 investigations of abuse claims at Bell Fountain since January 2004, and 66 have been substantiated. More protests are planned. Many Missourians have a weight problem, and the state government is trying to do something about it. Today, the third annual Shape Up Missouri program kicks off with events statewide. Gayla Vandelicht, the executive director for the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness and Health, says the idea behind the program is to get people on an exercise routine.
When you do it on a regular basis, and this is just an 8-week commitment, but we think an 8-week commitment and devoting a certain amount of time to exercise is enough that people get used to doing it. And after you get used to doing it, it's easier to work it into your daily routine.
According to Vandelicht, 60% of Missouri's adults are obese or overweight. Missouri ranks second in the nation with children that are either obese or overweight. The fitness program runs until November 18th. To sign up, go to www.mofitness.org. And finally, a former White House economic policy director visited Clayton on Friday and spoke at Growing Global 2005, hosted by the World Trade Center of St. Louis. After his speech, Todd Buchholz spoke about the nation's economy, which he believes is doing pretty well considering the natural disasters in the Gulf region. Buchholz also discussed the need to fix what he calls the ticking time bomb programs that are Social Security and Medicaid. If you get a speeding ticket while driving while suspended or DWI, Traffic Law Hotline will give your case prompt personal attention. So call the Traffic Law Hotline at 314-TRAFFIC. That's 314-TRAFFIC. That's the news for the 8 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Schick Quattro Power. Eastbound Route N at Eagle Hill and Weiss Road, there's an accident involving a tractor trailer and it's off the roadway. The road is closed in both directions as they are trying to offload the vehicle. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work. Westbound 70 at 94. There's road construction. Left lane is closed. Northbound 55 between River De Pere and 44. Look for normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and River De Pere. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. Look for slow volume. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall and Blanchett Bridge. That is moving freely this hour. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry all the way into Big Bend. Look for stop-and-go traffic. So if you're coming northbound on 270, use a little bit of caution and plan for a backup. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55. Expect normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, you've got slow volume going on there as well. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, it is stop and go. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, expect normal traffic for your 8 a.m. commute. The eastbound 40 last Missouri exit, maintenance operations have that ramp closed, so you'll need to use the 11th Street operations to get around that. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for slow volume going on. Westbound 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge at a stop and go. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to 5570, look for slow traffic going on there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing looks slow as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Schick Quattro Power. New Schick Quattro Power, it has four blades and power near the head for smooth glide and a close, less irritating shave. Turn on the power of four, available at a store near you. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly sunny skies, high around 80. This evening mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. Pretty much the same for Tuesday. Mostly sunny with a high around 80. Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. And Wednesday, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers, the high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 69, both under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, a conversation with the president of Feminist Majority, Eleanor Smeal, regarding the nomination of Judge John Roberts as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. She says he's no women's rights savior, and his selection by the president puts women back in the token category. Don't miss Eleanor Smeal this morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability. Here's our lineup for Tuesday listening on the award-winning Wake-Up Call. Former Alderwoman Irene J. Smith will be here Tuesday at 7 to keep you informed about the latest city developments regarding the eminent domain issue. At 8 o'clock, Daniel Borikoff, president of the American Institute of Philanthropy, joins Liz to talk about charitable giving in times of crisis. Then Tuesday at 9, Don McKenzie from the Union of Concerned Scientists will try and break down the government's dumb idea of giving tax breaks to owners of gas-guzzling vehicles when we're supposed to be having a tight fuel supply. It's all coming up Tuesday on the Wake-Up Call, where all you have to do to learn is listen.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We also are archived daily on the White Rose or whiterosesociety.org. You can also catch me at lizbrown.com, revolution@lizbrown.com. Those are my digits. We need to have a discussion this morning. Disturbing stories coming out of Katrina. We have people like John Kerry giving speeches, talking about failed experiments that this administration is attempting to foist upon the American public policies and practices that they couldn't get in any other way. I see this happening with the militarization of our country. Now, George W. Bush now talking about letting the military, United States military, be the first responders in natural disasters. We saw this in the aftermath of 9/11 policies just is taking place in the atmosphere of people's fear. Fear is exploited. If this administration does anything well, and they do, they do this well, they are experts in exploiting the fear that Americans have following or during a tragedy. So this administration is, that's what they do. That's what they do. And what is happening here is that this administration in the aftermath, or the ongoing math of Hurricane Katrina, this administration is once again attempting to exploit that fear and tragedy and get put in place the things that they couldn't get put in place through legitimate manners or methods or during the light of day. One of those things is the issue of that this administration has been very good at exploiting is education. The issue of education. This administration has wanted to put in place vouchers forever and has been nibbling away at the safeguards that we have to keep us from this voucher system, to keep us from creating another system that's just a money pot for the non-deserving, or a money pot for the illiterate. We need to talk about this attempt. Is she here? We have Tanya Clay, Senior Deputy Director of Public Policy for People for the American Way, to talk about vouchers a la Bush under the cover of Katrina. Tanya, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
A little bit. It's going in and out.
Okay. You know what, Tanya, are you going to be in your office in about 8:30?
Yeah, I should be in my office in about 10 minutes.
Okay, why don't we do that there, because we're having a really difficult time in hearing you.
Okay, that'll be fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fact. We're going to do that interview when she gets to a land-based line to keep you, spare you from the difficulty of her hearing you and from you hearing her. So let me change up a little bit. Let me change up if you don't mind. This is a story about other things that Hurricane Katrina is bringing us from this administration. The AP, that would be the Associated Press, for those of you that don't know. The Associated Press has reported. I want to try to walk you through this so you understand the things that are going on in the midst of tragedy. Y'all, I'm sure many of you sat glued to your televisions or your radios listening for, watching what Rita was going to do, Hurricane Rita was going to do. On Friday night about 8 a.m., Rita, that was Eastern time, Rita was centered about 260 miles southeast of Galveston and was moving to the northwest at near 9 miles per hour. Winds were about 140, down from the 175. That's where it was Wednesday and Thursday. Now, people are reporting this, right? They're reporting what Rita was doing. But understand what has been happening in the aftermath of Rita. As we're hearing the reports of the storm bearing down, we were hearing the reports of the storms bearing down. There have been other reports. Police being ordered to guard key infrastructures. Police being brought to bear in Louisiana and in New Orleans, moving into taking control over, exercising or executing decades-long plans to take over control from citizens. Understand that FEMA has the power to suspend laws, to move entire populations, arrest, detain citizens without a warrant and hold them for trial. It can seize properties, food supplies, transportation systems, and it can suspend the Constitution. So juxtapose that next to the conversations that you're hearing from a Oxford lands in shirted, short sleeve, rolled up sleeved, open collared George W. Bush as of late. While he is trying to look folksy, understand, folksy is the last thing that he is doing. If you listen to the words coming out his mouth, what they're talking about, bringing the military in, and giving them power that they don't have right now. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, this is the Reverend.
Yes, Reverend.
Calling.
Yes.
I was just listening to the past guest that you had, Dr. Robert Jensen.
Yes.
And I thank you for allowing us to hear certain things that goes on, and although a lot of us are familiar with some of the things that he's saying about our people living beneath the poverty line and that. But I just want to say this. The races of people in the United States are not a fast blending, mixing pot of all races of people in this country. To me, it's like a tossed salad of different races of people that intentionally separate themselves into their own races. We can still identify the ingredients in the tossed salad. The lettuce, the tomatoes over there, the onions, the eggs, the crouton, the sesame seeds, salt, the black pepper, olives, salad dressing, and is served up from generation to generation of oppression and segregation and separatism. Our racial struggle in this country have been African Americans, black, Negro, colored people, through racial oppression, have been dealing with issues that come up against us ever since this, we've been in this country. We have faced separatism, segregation, institutionalized racism, and everything that they have thrown our way. But we will prevail. Righteousness shall prevail forever. May God continue to bless you, Liz, and let's keep marching on.
Thanks for your call, Reverend. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding. Turn your radio down,
okay,
please.
Okay, Liz, last night I went to see the minister.
Yes.
He was talking about when he had met with Mayor Nagin. He said that Mayor Nagin told him that it was a 25-foot crater in this so-called, in the levee that's supposed to so-called bust by nature. And also he said that the diver that went up under there and discovered that he brought back some of the chunks of the rock, and they found out it had two type explosives on it. And also, Miss Brown.
Well, also, if I can just throw something in, too. A female reporter asked the White House press officer, and I quote the question, "Is it true that the levees were blown up on purpose?" And the press responded, or the White House press officer responded, "This is not the time or the place for questions like that."
Well, the BBC said that it was that it was an explosion, and this is the BBC, and BBC, and the way that they was, you know, their news is when you watch their news, they give you the truth. They don't slant nothing.
Well, yeah, they do. They're not perfect by any means.
Right.
Because listen to how they report on Zimbabwe and President Robert Mugabe and Haiti.
Yeah.
They know they lie straight out their mouth about
that.
Okay.
From that situation right there.
Mm-hmm.
But over here, they were saying that how the government left the blacks alone and wouldn't come and save them. And also on Halliburton, why don't the FBI lock somebody up in Halliburton? The FBI just sit back and watch these crimes being committed.
Fact.
If we had a company that was doing that, they would have been and raided us like they did Gail's toy.
You're right. Or Martha Stewart.
And somebody would have been in jail.
All right. Now, thanks for your call.
Dear.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
On the news again this morning, thing about the Pentagon came up that it wasn't a plane, it was a missile. Some woman was arrested in Europe somewhere with a lot of phony money and a forged passport from the Vatican. And she was one that they said they'd got a report that she'd been on the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. Had called her husband on a cell phone and told him she was on it before it supposedly crashed. My question is to you, and you'd probably know better than anybody, is there a list, or isn't there a list of the people who would have been on that plane, the pilot, the families? You know, when we had the towers down, the families came forward. Now, I've never seen a list in the paper or on the news or heard of it of the survivors' relatives coming. I mean, the people that got killed as relatives coming forward.
Well, I believe the person that you're talking about is Barbara Olson.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
That's who you were talking
right.
about. And I am not certain, because there was so much stuff that came out during that time. If there have been printed list of the people that were supposed to be on it, was it the flight manifest of the people that were actually supposed to be on the planes and that were not? I don't know that I've ever seen a list like that.
But I'm not privy to, all I know is what I read in the paper and I hear on the news. I mean, I don't even know that. That's what I'm told I'm supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
But so I can't ever remember, and I read quite a bit, and I can't ever remember seeing, I read different papers and the Journal and all that good stuff in the Economist magazine, and I've never remember seeing a list or pictures, or even the names of the pilot and co-pilot or the crew.
Oh, well, I have seen pictures of crew. In fact, crews. In fact,
one of
the pilots was a black man, and I saw his pictures and pictures of his family and his children in Jet magazine.
Okay.
So I have seen some of them.
Then that information is out there.
Some of it.
Okay. Now this morning they were saying that they found parts of a missile that belonged on a fighter jet or something. So I'm totally confused about what the truth is in this situation and that.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for your information.
454-0400 is my phone number. Joanna.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, I'm just calling to find out, has anybody got the numbers that people that have died in Louisiana? Because I'm really beginning to think that this was genocide.
Well, the problem, Joanna, is that the people that are now in charge of counting the bodies,
mm-hmm.
identifying the bodies,
mm-hmm.
Taking care of the bodies, the federal government is now in charge of that. And they have every reason to camouflage or to not tell us the truth about the dead bodies. And then and as if to put icing on their wicked, twisted cake, they've also hired a company who has a legacy of destroying bodies.
CSI?
That is correct. And I ain't talking about the television show.
Exactly.
All right.
Liz, I want to say, I don't know how you go through your day. I really don't know how you stay so strong, but you are, and you have to be a very strong black woman to report the things that you report every day and go home and sleep.
I don't know how you do it. Thanks. I would be crazy.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We have much to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me.
And it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound Route N between Eagle Hill and Weiss Road is an accident involving a tractor trailer off the roadway. The road is closed in both directions as they're trying to offload the vehicle. Westbound 70 at 94, there's construction. The left lane is closed. Northbound 55 between Virginia and Lafayette, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between the Chrysler Plant all the way into Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 70 from Mid River Mall to Blanchett Bridge, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 from Grabway to 44, still stop and go this hour. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for very heavy volume going on this hour. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway is closed due to maintenance operations. At ramps closed, you can use the 11th Street exit to get around. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the PSB is stop-and-go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Laclede's Landing, look for no problems to report. Wabeda Avenue at Arlington, look for an injury accident going on there. And Clarkson and Manchester is an accident involving a motorcycle. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly sunny skies today, high around 80. Pretty much the same for Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high around 80. And Wednesday, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers, a high around 80 as well. Currently at studios of AM 920 WGNU, under mostly sunny skies, we have 69 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70 with some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler, not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary and a Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes, Neil.
Yes, as always, I always respect you.
Thank you.
Help me out here just a little bit. A friend of mine and I were discussing yesterday with the appointee of the Supreme Court, this Roberts.
Roberts.
And, he was saying that because of the fact that he is being appointed in as Chief Justice,
mm-hmm.
that he would have, in a sense, power over the ones that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
So can you help me out on that? And I'm going to hang up, and
here's,
I ain't hearing good.
Here's what I'd like to do, Neil, is
okay.
Next hour and Mondays at 9, we're going to be discussing Robert's appointment.
Okay.
And we'll address that then if you can stay with us to the next hour. Can you do that?
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Yes, Ann.
Oh, someone just called in saying they didn't understand how you could rest and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is your God-given gift, and you was put here for this reason.
Yes, ma'am.
And have a blessed day.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Dolores, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
I agree with that previous caller. You were put here just for that reason. You certainly are outstanding. Want it to go by, but my hat is off to you because last week you gave us so much information, I didn't get to it. That the policeman went on and didn't take the job or lost his job because of the shooting at the black family. Because you made so much noise and the people became aware and they did make it an issue.
Mm.
You know?
Okay.
But I want to thank you for that.
All right. Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Liz. How are you this morning?
Fine, X Peter. How are you?
I'm doing black task. You know, we was out of the country, and much of the sentiment that's expressed on your radio program about the incidents resulting around Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana is pretty much felt, you know, in the African country that we was in. And by the people we had opportunity to talk to. But since we finally got back and we're going back to working with some of the evacuees that we've been working with, we're hearing the same complaints that they're not getting any responses out of FEMA. Many families, the father has managed to find a job, the mother has managed to find a job, now they're trying to get accommodation someplace in order to live. And you know, they need some assistance, temporary assistance, as far as covering the rent and some other items. But you know, those two agencies that's supposed to be there at this particular time, they're coming up AWOL again. So, wanted to share that information with you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you just want to get a sense of the things that are coming up under the cover of darkness, I talked a little bit earlier this morning about policies that this administration is trying to slip in through the door that has been cracked by Katrina. And I'm not talking about policies of better response time, policies of getting food and water to people that need it, policies that are not racially motivated in terms of who gets help and who doesn't. I'm not talking about those types of policies. We're talking about the policies that this administration is attempting to get in through the cracked door of Katrina are policies like school vouchers. How does a school voucher help victims, evacuees of Katrina? We're going to talk about that this morning with Tanya Clay, Senior Deputy Director of Public Policy for People for the American Way. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Tanya, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
What does school vouchers have to do with Katrina?
You know, honestly, they don't have anything to do with Katrina. They have everything to do with trying to push through a policy agenda that the administration has been attempting to do for the past 5 years.
And we're not talking about any small change here. We're talking about a whole lot of money that they're trying to use for this.
We're talking about 20% of the entire educational, the entire amount of educational funding that has been proposed for relief for the victims.
Wow.
And this is $488 million.
And how would this work in the twisted policies of this administration?
Well, supposedly, this would be in order to subsidize the students who are already attending private schools. That's really how it's intended to work. The claim is that, it would go beyond that. It would provide a voucher to any student, and not just those who are attending private schools, but to any student who wants to then take that money and go to another private school. And the claim is that it's only supposed to be for 1 year. However, that always begs the question, well, what happens to those students afterwards? Are you just going to take the money away? Because that's a claim that will be made by those on the other side. That would say that then we're hurting the kids if we take the money away, and then you start down this path that you can't get out of.
Who's asking for this? Are the people from Louisiana, New Orleans, people from Georgia, people from Alabama, are they clamoring for a voucher to pay for their way in private schools?
Honestly, the majority of students that have been displaced by Hurricane Katrina are attending public schools, and that includes those who were attending private schools. The public schools have been a safety net. They're the ones who are taking in most of the students. So those who are wanting this money, it's primarily, I know there was a hearing that took place, and it's primarily those, the archdiocese, the Catholic, the parochial schools that would want to be subsidized for taking in students, and actually not for taking in students, so that they can actually, they want to be able to, I guess, bring in more students and take advantage of this opportunity. So it's really not...
Well, it's a subsidizing of the parochial school system?
Yes, essentially that's what it is. It is providing, and let me just also be even more clear about this. This money would go to those students whose families already have the wherewithal to afford to send them to a private school. So notwithstanding whether or not they've been, you know, even though they've been displaced, they obviously were able to take that money and send their child to another private school.
So wait a minute, let me get this straight, Tanya. Are you saying that this $488 million giveaway from this administration will only go to the parents of children who were already in private schools?
It won't only go to them. I'm going to say that their claim is that it would be able to go to any student who wants to take the money and go to a private school, only a private school. But let me be clear that for the most part, the students who have been displaced were already attending, they're attending public schools. So it's not in their, they haven't, in, they're already there. They don't need the money to go to a public school. So that money is really directed at those students who are already attending private schools, who've already can afford to go there, and we're simply subsidizing their private education.
And we have to take a break. I'm talking to Tanya Clay, Senior Deputy Director of Public Policy for People for the American Way. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the Bush administration's proposed $488 million private school voucher experimental project here. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. Word from the capital city that after months of unpredictable power outages, electrical service has improved to some degree. For the past week, city power had been off and on in a controlled manner every 3 hours. Before then, the power was only on for 2 hours in each 24-hour period. Last month, most residents had to sleep outside because there was not enough electricity being produced to run air conditioning units. The Iraqi Electric Ministry says work on the infrastructure has been ongoing since October of 2003, and another 400 megawatt output is expected to go online by December. Lines and generating stations have been attacked repeatedly by insurgents, causing rebuilding efforts to move forward at a snail's pace. And Dateline Washington. White House insiders say President Bush became so upset over the calamity of Hurricane Katrina that wife Laura caught him drinking again at their ranch in Crawford, Texas. She's said to have told him not to fall off the wagon and that she was going to start traveling with him more often to keep her eye on him. One source close to the president says the drinking has been going on for several months in private. It has been documented that the president was a heavy drinker in his youth, continuing through college and well into his 30s. But Mr. Bush has denied that drinking had ever been a serious problem in his life. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Join a 5.3-mile hike on the Clark Trail at the Weldon Spring Conservation Area to look for early fall colors and migrating hawks. The hike takes place on Saturday, September 24th from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Sign up by calling 636-441-4554. Something for hikers from WGNU.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
Hello out there, radio land. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
Next on Mondays at 9, a conversation with the president of Feminist Majority, Eleanor Smeal, regarding the nomination of Judge John Roberts as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. She says he's no women's rights savior, and his selection by the president puts women back in the token category. Don't miss Eleanor Smeal this morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Tanya Clay. She's the Senior Deputy Director of Public Policy for People for the American Way. She's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about this $488 million private school voucher giveaway being done under the cover of Katrina by the Bush administration. Tanya, you were talking about who has access to this money.
Right. It is the details of the program have been unclear because it hasn't been brought to the House or the Senate floor yet. However, it's our understanding that the proposal could go to any student who has been displaced by Hurricane Katrina in order to take that money up to $7,500 per student and attend a private school.
That's $7,500 a year?
Yes.
And in terms of this $488 million, Is any of it earmarked for the public schools that are actually taking in and that will take in the lion's share of the students from that are being that have been displaced as a result of Katrina?
None of that $488 million is.
How about any of the $200 billion that we're talking about for fixing things?
Some of the money is supposed to be earmarked for the public school system, but there is much more that is needed.
Well, earmarked in what respect? What part of the ear are we talking about?
Well, probably the smaller part. It is supposed to be, I think some of the money is supposed to be used, obviously, for school reconstruction, and I think additional funding to help support the schools that are being taken in. But a lot of that money, none of that money is startup money, and that's a lot of the problem that I think a lot of the schools are going to face. They can't, some schools can open their doors if they actually just have some startup money to maybe fix a couple of the broken glasses,
mm-hmm.
You know, the windows that are around the school, to just, you know, clean up some places. But they don't even have that money because of the devastation there. So this money that we're talking about is something that is a little bit more farther down the line that will not enable a lot of these schools to immediately open up.
Well, I'm thinking, last week I had a guest on my show, the president of the Black Mayors Association, mm-hmm. Vanessa Williams, and she's talked about, or came on the show and talked about, that dozens and dozens of predominantly towns of people of African descent and Black mayors whose towns have doubled in size, some cases trebled in size,
right.
as a result of the evacuees.
Right.
How does a school system absorb that without some kind of financial plan and financial some money?
They can't. You asked the right question, and that's the problem that we see with how the prioritization of this administration. The schools, the public schools are the ones absorbing most of these students. What they're doing in order to accommodate right now is, you know, they're putting up trailers, and they're trying to bring in additional teachers, you know, substitute teachers. A lot of these classrooms, you know, they're becoming.
These are the schools doing this, not the federal government.
No, the schools are doing this in order to accommodate, because it's the responsibility of the public schools to provide a free and appropriate education for all students, notwithstanding what happened. Any student can walk into that school and expect to receive an education free of charge. And that is what is so, you know, that is something that I think goes unrecognized and unappreciated by most, you know, by many in this country, because the schools have been, the public schools have been the safety net.
And let's talk about that for a second, too, because simply because a child is spending $7,000 in some private school out there doesn't mean that they're going to get the resources that they need.
Exactly. You're exactly right. That's something that we've been trying to focus the public's attention on as well. The public schools provide a lot of services that private schools simply do not have to provide, regardless of how much money you're spending to go there. For example, something that's particularly disconcerting is the fact that they don't have to abide by civil rights laws.
There you go.
And the civil rights laws have to, you know, public schools have to abide by that. They're under obligation because they're federal schools. That means that they cannot discriminate based upon race, based upon religion, based upon sex, based upon disability, their ethnicity. You know, the public schools are obligated to take in any and all students, whereas private schools don't have to abide by certain restrictions like that. For example, they are allowed to discriminate based upon religion. They can determine exactly who can attend their school. But that's the, and let me again say that that is not something that we oppose. It's simply the funding of that by the federal government. Private schools are allowed to do whatever they so choose with their own private funding. But the federal government should not be supporting that.
So they can discriminate by race. They can discriminate by gender. They can discriminate by class. They can discriminate by religion. They can do all of those things.
So that's what can happen. Usually it's done under the guise of religion. But we all know that Sunday is still the most segregated time in this country.
Well, we also know that there are a lot of religious schools that right-wing Republicans have spoken at that have policies based upon race.
Right.
You know, so
right.
I mean, race is in there.
It's a factor. And so is disability. You know, we put that into the mix as well. Mental health. Students with disabilities who need additional resources.
private schools are not obligated to provide that. And, in fact, if the child is in need of special services, they can deny entrance to that student.
Now, do we have any specifics on how the 7,000-plus voucher would work? Do you get the whole check for the whole $7,000? Is it monthly increments? How does that work?
No, it's funny that you asked that because typically, I think the first federal voucher program was actually enacted, a year ago by here in D.C., unfortunately, and we've been fighting that ever since. But what they do with that one and what has been done is that the voucher is given to the parent but they never actually see the money. They automatically sign it over to the school. The school gets that money in the beginning of the year.
The whole hunk of money.
They get the whole, I think in here in D.C., I believe they get, half and half, but they get it for the entire semester.
Well, isn't that great for the school?
It's great for the school because unfortunately what happens, and I'm not for certain how the Bush plan, this new voucher program is going to work. Again, we haven't been privy to all the details of it. However, it's our understanding that these schools are not going to get it quarterly like public schools. Public schools usually, and so in fact what's going to happen is these schools, the private schools, will get the huge chunks of money, and regardless of whether or not that student continues to stay in that private school.
And that was going to be my next point, because since it's not the parents' money, it's not the students' money, the school can take the baby in for 6 weeks, kick them out for whatever reason they want, and the parent can't get the money back.
Exactly, because it was signed over to the school.
What a great gig for the private schools.
It's an unfortunate situation that is being exploited. And, these students need real help. And let's also, I want to also say that vouchers aren't going to build a single school.
Mm.
They are not going to help those students who, families want to return to their home.
Mm.
They want to return to where they, where they have been raising their families. And if we're serious about rebuilding the public school system, the infrastructure of the Gulf Coast, vouchers are not the way to do it. Vouchers, in fact, encourage people to stay away and not go home.
Mm.
They do not help to rebuild those schools and to help send the money to where they need to be. They don't help to attract teachers. They don't help to reduce rebuild the facilities. They don't help to provide the resources necessary.
And they're not going to meet the mental health issues that the babies have coming out of Katrina.
Counseling services. These students need a lot of things. And these private schools are not required to provide those services.
And we have 30 seconds here. Tanya, should people call their legislators and just hop on top of them?
Absolutely. Call your state representative and call your senator, because we are expecting to possibly see this voucher program on the floor in the House as quickly as this Wednesday. Then we're expecting possibly to see it in the Senate in a couple of weeks. And they're going to try to push this through so that people don't realize what's happening, so they won't want to object to a Katrina relief package.
Okay, and that has to be the final word, your email, your website address?
Website is www.pfaw.org.
Tanya Clay, Senior Deputy Director for Public Policy for People for the American Way. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.
My pleasure. We'll be back with Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
But also with as much caution as possible. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky is there.
We've heard some New Orleanians express concern about crime once people return to a city lacking most everything. Some National Guard troops were diverted to southwest Louisiana to deal with Hurricane Rita, but law enforcement officials here say there are plenty of cops on duty. A captain says the New Orleans Police Department has nearly 1,500 officers working 12-hour shifts.
The Algiers neighborhood, which remained mostly dry throughout both hurricanes, reopens this morning. The widespread cleanup is also underway in Texas, coastal towns and cities. ABC's Vic Ratner is in Houston.
The good news is the gas lines are gone. Houston area residents headed home in huge numbers. And although traffic was heavy, it was nothing like the gridlock that they faced during evacuation last week.
Officials are asking residents of some Texas cities to stay away because there's no gasoline, no power, no drinking water. Gunmen dressed in police uniforms killed five Shiite primary school teachers today in a town south of Baghdad. A school driver is also dead. In Madrid, a suspected Al-Qaeda leader is sentenced to 27 years for arranging a meeting involving one of the 9/11 hijackers. And the Senate begins floor debate this afternoon on President Bush's Chief Justice nominee.
With all 55 Republicans expected to vote for John Roberts and a dozen Democrats declaring their support, confirmation was assured even before the Senate began its debate. In fact, there's so little suspense left, many have already turned their attention to the next court opening, the seat held by key swing vote Sandra Day O'Connor.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. This is ABC News.
Hey, I'm Tom, and today's my ninth day with Prilosec OTC. Because of frequent heartburn, I couldn't even enjoy my kids' games. But with Prilosec OTC, that's all changed. Now, when my daughter's soccer team takes on the Wolverines, I'm there yelling. She really hates that. Imagine, zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day nine for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn.
Now you can get instant term life insurance in just 10 minutes. Call Jefferson National Life Insurance Company. If you qualify, you can get up to $250,000 of coverage in 10 minutes. Call now for a free quote. 1-866-496-4500. That's 1-866-496-4500. Contains limitations not available in all states. Term life issued by Jefferson National, Dallas, Texas, under form number JNLSEL03, and the American Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, under form number ANLYSEL03.
The American held hostage in Iraq for 10 months is telling his story to ABC News.
My name is Roy Hallams.
Forced at gunpoint by his Iraqi captors to record a video, Roy Hallams was held prisoner for 311 days. He took it just one day at a time.
You just think about today.
In an exclusive ABC News interview on Good Morning America, Hallams says you don't dare think about what might happen.
You don't know if you're going to live another day or not.
He never gave up hope that people were looking for him.
They might find me, but that was like a dream if it ever happened.
The dream came true when he was rescued by American soldiers. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Two high school students in suburban Salt Lake City thought they had the answer to soaring gasoline prices. They rode their horses 30 miles to and from school until school administrators told them it was against the rules to have horses on school grounds. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. In the news in your 9 o'clock hour, a deadly shooting in North St. Louis over the weekend is being investigated. Police saying 24-year-old Lionel Taylor was found shot to death in an alley along the 5300 block of Northland Avenue yesterday morning. No arrests have been made at this hour, and there is no word on a motive. A Missouri State Trooper killed in the line of duty will be laid to rest this morning. Trooper Donald Floyd was killed last week after he was struck by a pickup driver during a traffic stop along Highway 60 in Texas County. The funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. this morning at Licking High School. And if you helped with Hurricane Katrina relief efforts, you may be eligible for some tax credits. Kathy Burleson of the H&R Block says new legislation allows you to deduct any out-of-pocket expenses incurred with helping the victims of the devastating disaster. Burleson says one tax break you can get is reimbursement for mileage.
Your mileage rate of 14 cents a mile, you're going to qualify for a higher mileage rate that is based on the business mileage rate. So it's 34 cents a mile rather than 14 cents a mile.
Burleson says there are some new tax credits available for victims of Hurricane Katrina. For more information on tax credits available, log on to www.hrblock.com or call 1-800-HR-BLOCK. This hour's news has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound Route N between Eagle Hill and Weiss Road. An accident involving a tractor trailer. Police are alternating traffic through one lane as they are offloading the vehicle as we speak. Northbound Route 141 before Manchester, an accident with injuries involving a motorcycle. So you want to use caution there. Westbound 70 at 94, look for road construction. Left lane is closed. Northbound 55 between Weber and Brewery, no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge, look for that to be easing. Eastbound 70 at Cave and Blanchette, no problems to report there. Northbound 270 at 44, everything is returned back to normal. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh to Hanley, you've got slow traffic going on there. Westbound 270 from Lilac to West Florissant, no problem, or New Florissant, no problems there. And westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at, you've got road construction, right lane is closed. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street, Route 3 onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way onto Laclede's Landing looks good. And westbound Poplar Street Bridge ramp to westbound 70, one lane is closed for maintenance work this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. FedEx. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly sunny skies with a high in the 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high in the 80s. Tuesday evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a 50% chance of showers, high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and Mondays at 9. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Here's our lineup for Tuesday listening on the award-winning wake-up call. Former Alderwoman Irene J. Smith will be here Tuesday at 7 to keep you informed about the latest city developments regarding the eminent domain issue. At 8 o'clock, Daniel Borikoff, president of the American Institute of Philanthropy, joins Liz to talk about charitable giving in times of crisis. Then Tuesday at 9, Don McKenzie from the Union of Concerned Scientists will try and break down the government's dumb idea of giving tax breaks to owners of gas-guzzling vehicles when we're supposed to be having a tight fuel supply. It's all coming up Tuesday on The Wake Up Call, where all you have to do to learn is listen.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Tell me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease,
war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is long distance. Revolution at LizBrown.com is the email. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We are archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to us. We have much, much, much to talk about. Another day. Another Democratic capitulation. You know, this is. I am proud of the show that I do here on the Wake Up Call, and I really, really, really try to keep it family friendly, and not do any cussing. But I can tell you that I cussed out loud as I was reading an article about Joseph Lieberman's capitulation. I don't even want to call it a capitulation because in order to capitulate, you had to have at least taken a stand. And then you fall down on your stand. He came to this issue on his knees with his hands out, saying, please don't make me fight. So it's just an articulated position that they were always going to do what they were told from the beginning with this Roberts nomination to be the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And I must say this, and I must underscore this, that as a woman of African descent, I am particularly teed off, angry, infuriated that this Democratic Party comes to my community every single doggone presidential election and says, and I'm paraphrasing, but you'll feel me on this, and says, we've got to elect the Democrats. If you don't get out and support the Democratic presidential candidate, those mean old bad Republicans are going to put awful people on the Supreme Court. You know how important it is to have the right people on the Supreme Court. Black people, vote for Democrats because they will protect you on the issue of who's going to be the next Supreme Court Justice, Elias. That's not what is happening here. And folks need to be pretty teed off about it. You need to be pretty teed off about it. We need to talk specifically about why you need to be teed off about it, why it is unacceptable that these people are... They're not even caving because you had to have a position of opposition in order to cave from. Excuse the ending of the from there, but you know what I mean. They gave up before they got going. And we need to set these people right. We need to talk about why they're wrong and set them right. And we need to talk about why John Roberts is an absolutely awful choice on just about every issue, except if your last name is Halliburton. Unless your last name is Halliburton, you need to be very scared. Let's talk about this. I have with me the president of Feminist Majority, Eleanor Schmiel. She is joining us from Arlington, Virginia. Eleanor, good morning.
Good morning.
We need to be scared, don't we? We need to be mad as heck, don't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we have to fight hard and continue to fight. The vote isn't final yet. I know it looks bad. We've got to drive up as many no votes as possible and send a message. They've got to stop doing this.
And talk to us about, I had a caller call earlier this morning and wanted to know the significance of this appointment from the perspective of being the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Tell us what that role entails and why we should be doubly concerned about Roberts being not only a Supreme Court justice, but the Chief Justice.
Well, he's the chief administrator of the whole federal judiciary system. And as such, he has a large payroll. He commands a multi-billion dollar budget.
Mm.
And but on the what he does is he sets a tone because he chairs the convening of the justices. And if he votes in the majority, he gets to choose who writes the opinion.
Mm.
And so they say he's one of equals, but he's more than equal.
And when people like Senator Lieberman say, I didn't find anything wrong with him, there's plenty of wrong, and particularly on the issue of women's issues. Talk to us about that.
Well, I mean, the Liebermans of the world are voting more, and they vote too Republican all the time. On women's rights, you can't judge him by exactly what he is now because we don't know. All we know is his papers from the past. And he never, in 3 days of hearings and all this time, he has never denounced or backed away from any of the positions he took when he was a young man under Reagan. They wouldn't release his papers when he was Deputy Solicitor General. But at the end, he said, judge me by the arguments I made before the Supreme Court and the cases my briefs before the Supreme Court. So now look at that. Looking at that picture, what was it? The picture is he mocked that there was a pay difference, that there was a pay gap. He mocked
between men and women.
Yeah, between men and women. He mocked that there was a right to privacy. He called it the so-called right to privacy. When asked about the right to privacy by almost all of the Democrats on the Judiciary Court, Judiciary Committee, he narrowed the right to privacy. Wouldn't say what it was, but what he did describe is a more narrow right than we currently have, and that's the basis upon not only legal abortion, but also access to birth control. And it's not only that, it's your right to make your own medical decisions, so it involves end-of-life questions. And then he has fought against Title IX. When he was a young man in the Reagan era, he wanted it to be essentially gutted, said it should be limited. And then in more recent times, he has defended those who would narrow it. Title IX is the Equal Educational Guarantee in federal funded educational programs. And to boot, his backer said, real women don't cry over Title IX. They had signs saying that outside. It goes on. I mean, he fought the Equal Protection Clause. We don't have an Equal Rights Amendment for women. We're not in the Constitution other than the 19th Amendment, which gave us the right to vote. And he muddled the question. He's supposed to be brilliant, but he muddled the question whether how the 14th Amendment covers women. And in so doing, it looks like he would lower the standard on the covered, which means that there would be permissible more governmental discrimination against women. It's bad in every dimension. And on race, oh, please, too. He argued when he was the Reagan years to narrow the application of the Voting Rights Act.
To narrow it to what? Narrow it to what?
Well, he essentially wants to cut that too. I mean, you know, hey, we're over race discrimination, right? Essentially, this guy is he fought busing. He would be a vote against affirmative action. So on race, on sex, on disabilities, on basically guaranteeing the fundamental rights of the, to people under the Constitution. This is a guy who will roll back the clock. If we're to judge him by the papers he wrote when he was a young man of the Reagan era, and the cases he's argued before the court.
But
that's
wait a minute. But wait a minute, Eleanor. What do you mean if we're if we judge him?
Well,
how we're supposed to evaluate this person. What are we supposed to call his mom and ask if he was a good Boy Scout? You look at what he wrote so that you know where he stands.
And damn right.
And then you judge him based on that.
Of course, and that's why I don't understand why some of these Democrats say it's a close call. Their base vote is African Americans, Hispanics, and women. And on all three, let's be real. This guy argued to take away our rights, so he should be not okay. He should be an easy vote. As it is, we're fighting for every vote. We got 5 out of the 8 Democrats on the Judiciary Committee, and now we're fighting.
And who were the no's? I mean, who were the yeses? Patrick Leahy was one.
Yeah, Patrick Leahy voted against us. That was a shock.
No, he voted. And who else?
It's a total shock because he usually votes with us. Feingold from Wisconsin, who, by the way, wants to run for president. Say goodbye to that.
Mm-hmm.
And Cole from Wisconsin were the votes for Roberts. Against Roberts were Biden, who argued very vigorously against him. Kennedy, who was terrific too. Feinstein, who said that she would cast her vote. She was the only woman out of 18 members of the Judiciary Committee said she would make her vote on women's rights, said he didn't cross her bar. And Durbin, who is the minority second in command to Reid on the Democratic side. Reid also came out against him, but he's not on the committee. And and Schumer.
And
they all voted no.
And where is Obama on this?
He's no.
He's definite no.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what we believe, yeah.
And in terms of the significance of this, it's already a known factor of how those that are sitting on the Supreme Court are going to vote, for the most part. We know pretty much how they're going to vote on women's issues because they have a long track.
Absolutely. It's all, they count it as if there's some great mythology. But every once in a while, they surprise you on a case. But mostly on basic rights, you know where they're at.
So it matters mightily because the votes on those issues, women's rights issues,
civil
rights, people with disabilities, the environment,
right.
Work protection.
It's a business vote.
But what I'm trying to say is that they're close votes.
Absolutely, 5-4. So what they did, at first they said he was going to take the Senator Dale O'Connor's seat, which is sort of called swing seat, but they said he was brilliant, right? Then when Rehnquist died, they moved him to Chief Justice and said, well, it doesn't matter, it's a right-winger for a right-winger. But it does matter. This guy is only 50 years old. He could live another 35 years setting the tone of reactionary decisions. So it matters, and they should be fighting.
And here's the thing, Ted Bundy was brilliant, too.
Yep.
Ted Bundy
is not the greatest thing.
And it doesn't mean it's going to be good stuff coming out of that brilliancy.
No, I don't get it. I mean, by the way, also very tricky because he answered questions, for example, in several areas exactly the way Clarence Thomas did.
And what?
Exactly. And he, for example, when he was asked about should single women have the right to privacy to get birth control pills or, he said there's a decision in 71 that allowed it that women could get who were not married prescriptions for birth control. That, remember, only 1971. And he said, I have no quarrel with that decision. We don't know what that means because Thomas used the exact same words, I have no quarrel with. And he used it on 5 different cases. Thomas used it 8 times. But now we know that when Thomas got in, he might not have quarreled with it, but he was for reversing it. So, in fact, Feinstein pointed that out, that what does this language mean? And
But wait a minute. Whose responsibility, whose job is it to find out what I have no quarrel with it means?
Well, of course, it's the Senate. Because, you know, they're not supposed to be a rubber stamp. They're supposed to give advice and consent. And if they vote yes for this guy, they have consented. And that means they think he's A-OK. They had a job. And as you just said, for years the Democrats have campaigned among women, among minorities, that they, people of color, that they would save the court.
That's right.
They would
That's right.
save the court. Vote for us. We'll save the court. Well, more than half of them are there, but too many are not there. And so one more time, there won't be a filibuster.
And Eleanor, this is not a hard call.
No.
I mean, and
it's not a hard call.
And
anybody, they keep saying it is. You'll hear it. You hear it from all of them.
Well, George Bush says it's hard, too, but that doesn't make it hard.
No. Nope, they keep saying this is a tough decision. We have undecideds right now. We're going into the last week before the final votes Thursday, we believe, and we got still undecideds, and there shouldn't be undecideds. They should be voting. If they're voting for their constituents, the people who support them, for women's rights and civil rights, this is an easy call. If you're judging him on his record, it's got to be a no vote.
And even if, Eleanor, you take into account the okay, you have a job. Your job is all about it's largely about politics, and you have to weigh certain political factors because you're elected into your job. You just don't get to keep it. The atmosphere that with George W. Bush's polls the way that they are, with Americans' polls about the way Americans feel about their country the way that they are, this is a perfect environment to be a Democrat.
That's what I don't get. What I don't get is we're at a time when he is spiraling downward in the polls. That, I mean, you could say we're right after 9/11, it was tough on them, but it isn't now. And I went to the march this weekend. You ought to see the signs. People are outraged. They feel that this is the worst president ever. And he's now even losing base Republican support.
That's right.
So in this atmosphere, you would think they'd say, let's save the Supreme Court for a generation. Instead, I mean, for a person like me who has fought for civil rights and women's rights now, it's almost 40 years, long time, see it unwind. And not to see a bigger fight is more than heartbreaking.
And you know what, Eleanor? It doesn't even have to be save the court. It's just like give the appearance of fighting.
Yeah.
You know, just
well, that's why, you know, right now we're fighting for a lot of no votes because we want to send a message. You can't stack this court. And I do believe the next fight will, it looks like now he's going to nominate somebody the minute this vote takes place on Thursday. And what I worry about is they won't have a record. They'll be these stealth candidates, you know. And then they'll say, oh, well, we can't do anything because we don't know. Well, they got it. Then they should vote no. There shouldn't be any secrets. My goodness, these are lifetime appointments.
And the highest court in the land.
Absolutely.
We have to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Eleanor Schmiel. She's the president of Feminist Majority. She's joining us from Arlington, Virginia. We're talking about the vote for John Roberts and the yes votes, the no votes, the incredible he's all right with me votes. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics, to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with Ride Finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride Finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service free of charge, so sign up today and begin easing the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. For a list of potential carpool or vanpool partners from Ride Finders free ride matching service, log on to www.ridefinders.org or call toll-free 800-VIP-RIDE.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza. Pizza. Pizza.
Popcorn.
That's why they have you.
French fries.
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you,
pepperoni pizza,
and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Here's our lineup for Tuesday listening on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Former Alderwoman Irene J. Smith will be here Tuesday at 7 to keep you informed about the latest city developments regarding the eminent domain issue. At 8 o'clock, Daniel Borikoff, president of the American Institute of Philanthropy, joins Liz to talk about charitable giving in times of crisis. Then Tuesday at 9, Don McKenzie from the Union of Concerned Scientists will try and break down the government's dumb idea of giving tax breaks to owners of gas-guzzling vehicles when we're supposed to be having a tight fuel supply. It's all coming up Tuesday on the Wake Up Call, where all you have to do to learn is listen. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Eleanor Schmiel. She's the president of Feminist Majority. She's joining us from Arlington, Virginia. We're talking about John Roberts and the Democrats' response to his appointment to the United States Supreme Court and in the position of Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Eleanor, we're going to take some calls from some folks.
Okay, fine.
Dimitri, you have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a question and a comment, Liz. Ms. Schmiel, is that your name?
Schmiel, yes.
Eleanor Schmiel. I think your energy is misdirected. I'm weary of what I'm hearing from you and from others, the fact that the candidates that you criticize, I think it's misplaced because these three-act plays began with the nomination of the Attorney General. We went through the same scenario the nomination of the ambassador to the UN, the same scenario, and now the nomination of the Chief Justice. I think your energy should be directed toward the person who selects these candidates. And well, also, I think that the person who selected these candidates, I'm weary of it. I think you could put up a chimpanzee and Congress would suffer the same oral paralysis over and over again.
So what should be done, Dimitri?
I think you should go after the person or the president because of his selection process and make him toe the line.
Okay.
That's the source of all of this business that goes on with criticizing a candidate. I don't find fault with the candidate. The fault lies with the person who selected them.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Liz.
Eleanor, how does it work? How does the process work?
Well, he's right. The president nominates these folks. They're not dissimilar appointments, though. The attorney general will only be in the Bush administration at best. The ambassador wasn't approved, as you know. The Senate refused to approve the ambassador to the UN, so he only can serve for a limited period of time, not even the whole administration of Bush. But this is a lifetime appointment. And, of course, there's huge criticism of Bush for doing this. But right now, we're fighting because these are lifetime appointments. The Democrats have enough votes to stop them because they could filibuster. They have 45.
Well, we know what George Bush's position is. His position is in support of him. Okay.
Yes.
Now the process is that, okay, Bush appoints him. Okay. We can't unelect him for appointing him. You get to the people that decide to affirm or to reject.
Right. And they stand for election every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
And not all of them, a third of them. And most importantly, you only need 41 senators, not 51. You don't need half of them. You only need 41 to block an appointment by a filibuster. So there is a possibility of that.
And there's good news with regard to the John Bolton attempted nomination, because George Bush didn't win that. People said no to it, and he had to go through the back door to get it done. And as you said, that's not a full ambassadorship. That's a partial ambassadorship, and it's a sullied ambassadorship.
That's
because
right.
He's got to go there with everybody knowing that nobody wants him there except for George Bush.
Right.
And that's not a good credit reference.
No, and basically it did show that the Senate can block an appointment. If they want to.
And
so they can block it. And we're trying to build that will to block the appointment. And if they can't block this one, to block the next one. So it lies within the Senate's power to block these appointments. They bear responsibility if, in fact, he's confirmed.
And the battle is not to the weary. I mean, the battle.
You've got to keep fighting.
Battle.
Blackmun wrote Roe v. Wade, but he was the third choice of Nixon, not the first choice.
Mm.
Nixon had appointed Haynesworth and Carswell. Those two judge nominations went down on civil rights, by the way. Blackmun was the next one, and he not only did Roe v. Wade, but he ended up to be a progressive vote. So that was done in 71. It can be done. There has to be a will. And I believe what we're doing is building that will and saying you can't say you're going to defend civil rights and women's rights and confirm these guys. And you've got to have the will to fight. If you're the same as the Republicans, then what is the point of saying two parties?
Where's Hillary Clinton on this?
She's going to vote no. She's announced no.
Okay. Okay. Was that...
So we're coming out that we're going to get, I don't know, about 30 votes, maybe more. I hope more. I wish it was doggone. Of course, I want a filibuster, but if you can't do that, at least show a big show of force, and we got the next one. The next one is the balance one, although I think this one is equally as important. Don't understand why they're not filibustering this one, but we're going to hang in there tough for this one, and we're going right to the next one. And if that one does not have any record, or they have a bad record, either one, it's a no vote.
454-0400 is the phone number. Let me get to another caller here. We have a car phone. Bill on a car phone.
Yes, my comment is that the power of persuasion, when Thurgood Marshall was on the court, when he was on the court, and the lady just mentioned, Mrs. Smeal just mentioned Blackmun's name. Didn't Blackmun argue the case for Richmond against affirmative action? And then later when he was appointed to the Supreme Court, Marshall was persuaded Blackmun to vote in favor of affirmative action?
Yeah. Marshall was Thurgood Marshall was a tremendous force on the court. And that the tragedy is, in his seat is sitting Clarence Thomas, which is not a, obviously is not a pro-civil rights vote. So that's why every vote counts.
It's civil rights sin that he is sitting there. It is an absolutely sin. It's a sin.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
And but then here's the thing. We have to keep repeating history. He was confirmed.
Absolutely.
He was confirmed. There wasn't a filibuster. He was confirmed.
Yeah, 52-48. There was a lot of negative votes, but it was 52-48, and it doesn't matter. Now everybody, he's got the same vote that he's on there. It was a fight, but they should have filibustered him. They said they didn't filibuster him at that time, because God knows we try to stop it, because they had guaranteed a time certain for the vote. Well, now they haven't guaranteed any time certain on this Roberts vote, so they could still filibuster him. There's always some excuse. We can't accept excuses. And people listening to this that feel strongly, let the Democrats know you want them to fight.
I've sent out a number of nasty emails, particularly to Patrick Leahy. It was just, it's just foul. You don't have to say that. You do not, who are you talking to when you say that I didn't hear anything that caused me any concern? Who are you talking to?
Well, what he also kept saying is, you have to take him at his word. He has integrity, and I trust him. Well, this is, you know, you shouldn't have to the stakes are too high. And
but his words also are the words in black and white on paper.
Absolutely.
So which words are you going to take him at? You know, let's get real.
Now, Leahy also seems to have positioned himself for fighting next one. Well, I don't know about that strategy, but they better fight next one, and it's got to be big. That, you know, can't have it both ways. I think it was a tragic vote.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Cell phone, Gary.
Yes, what I was wondering, you mentioned about the Democrats having the ability to filibuster, but do not the Republicans have the right and ability to override that rule for the filibuster?
No.
Thanks for your question, Gary.
No, the Republicans can't override a filibuster. If you can keep your 41 votes, which means that you refuse to close the debate to go to a vote, and 41 senators, if they continue to say no, they aren't ready to vote, there'll never be a vote. The nomination is blocked. Our difficulty is that the Democrats only really have 45 votes with Jeffords from Vermont, who's an independent. So you got to carry almost everyone. That's been the problem. But they still have enough votes, and we're waiting for that filibuster.
And which one of the Democrats are the most surprised about, and then the ones that you are concerned about that are going to come out with a yes vote?
Well, we were shocked over Leahy. That was a big surprise. Because I've known him for years, he usually is a very progressive vote. That was a very big surprise on this one. Undecided right now are still some surprises. As I talked to you, Senator Murray from Washington State, usually a very progressive
Patty Murray?
Is undecided right this minute. I hope that doesn't mean anything, but if you care, let her know. As a woman and as a person who's concerned with the rights of women and minorities, should absolutely vote no. But she was undecided on Friday. This weekend with the march and with the Green Festival and 9 million other things, something could have happened this morning, but I'm telling you that she was late coming to the party. Harkin is still an undecided. He was again on late on the weekend. So that's a surprise. He's a solid vote usually for progressive side. So you gotta fight every vote. Right now, any Democrats should not be taken for granted. They should be hearing from you. At the last count, there was like 12 that had come out. Now, a lot of them had not come out yet because they're waiting for they had something going that they're going to wait to the Judiciary Committee vote, and it just came on Thursday. So
Right.
Anyway, but I would let them know you want that no vote. Don't take a thing for granted.
And
it doesn't matter if you're from their state. My opinion, they're trying to raise money nationwide.
That's right. And I got an email from Ted Kennedy trying to raise money for Robert Byrd. So they want your money from Ohio, even if you don't if you don't live there. So that's why.
Ted Kennedy is always solid. He's been the one fighting for the no vote. He's been a solid. But right now we don't have Byrd, so they should be.
But he came out and asked for money for Byrd, and that's why I sent them an email back saying, no, you know, people need to be consistent in their posturing. You're a progressive when you're asking for money, but when it comes down to the vote, where are you? And we've got to take a break. Eleanor Schmiel, she is the president of Feminist Majority. She's joining us from Arlington, Virginia. I see all of you on the line. I know you all want to get your word in on this topic. We're talking about the confirmation. Well, we're out of the hearing process. We're now coming down to the vote of John Roberts as the Chief Justice for the United States Supreme Court. That's going to take place. Is it today, Eleanor?
It's
Thursday.
It's Thursday.
All right. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
It is your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh, no. Just the nearness of you.
And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Caracas. The first shipment of extra gasoline from Venezuela is set to arrive in Florida today. A tanker carrying 240,000 barrels of refined gasoline was headed to a port in Florida over the weekend from the Venezuelan National Oil Company in an effort to help reduce the effects of supply disruption caused by the devastation inflicted by Hurricane Katrina. Venezuelan officials say the additional shipments will be made available immediately to American consumers through the Citgo chain, which is wholly owned by the Venezuelan corporation. Three other 240,000 barrel shipments will be delivered to the U.S. by the end of October as part of a pledge by President Hugo Chavez to help his neighbors to the north, even though the Bush administration has expressed disdain for his influence in Central and South America. And Dateline Washington. Former President Jimmy Carter spoke at a panel discussion last Friday and said he was sure that Al Gore had won the 2000 presidential election. Carter said the election process that year failed miserably, and when the Supreme Court got involved, they displayed high partisan efforts by stopping the recount. Carter also had harsh words for how President Bush's FEMA department handled the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Carter founded FEMA in 1979 and said there were three specific fundamentals for its existence: to be led by highly trained professionals in dealing with disasters, to be completely independent and not under the auspices of any other agency, and that it would have adequate funding. The former president said the main reason it was created was in response to governors who had asked that 16 bureaucratic federal agencies that were supposed to provide federal relief be consolidated to make them more effective in responding to disasters. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Here's our lineup for Tuesday listening on the award-winning wake-up call. Former Alderwoman Irene J. Smith will be here Tuesday at 7 to keep you informed about the latest city developments regarding the eminent domain issue. At 8 o'clock, Daniel Borikoff, president of the American Institute of Philanthropy, joins Liz to talk about charitable giving in times of crisis. Then Tuesday at 9, Don McKenzie from the Union of Concerned Scientists will try and break down the government's dumb idea of giving tax breaks to owners of gas-guzzling vehicles when we're supposed to be having a tight fuel supply. It's all coming up Tuesday on The Wake Up Call, where all you have to do to learn is listen.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Yes, Liz Brown. I'm talking to Eleanor Schmiel, president of Feminist Majority, joining us from Arlington, Virginia. We're talking about the appointment of Judge John Roberts as the next Chief Justice for the United States Supreme Court. And Eleanor, you have been on this issue from the get-go. Your organization has been on.
We came out very rapidly against Roberts based on his record. We did and now did National Organization for Women. So we feel, frankly, that even some of the progressive groups have taken far too long coming out. AFL-CIO just, I don't know if that's progressive, but anyway, the Labor just came out, AFL-CIO, the end of last week against him. We can't take this long. I think that basically because a lot of groups didn't come out right away. People read that as he was okay.
He was okay.
Or it was a tough call. Actually, it's just their processes that take so long. And I think they must streamline to meet the modern day calendars.
And also, we have some groups that have come out in opposition to this that have never come out in opposition to this before. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund has come out in opposition, and
right.
The lawyers groups rarely do that because they have to practice in front of these judges. So
Exactly. That's
a big deal that they came out in opposition to this.
It's a big deal. A lot of groups that never come out before decided they had to, that this was too extreme. So the coalition is now very big out against. As I said, it took a little too long, and that I think was read as some split. There never was a split. It's just that the process internal has to be streamlined. From the beginning, I go to all these coalition meetings. The prevailing feeling was that this was definitely a no vote needed, and then the more and more they read the memos, because you know thousands were finally released from the Reagan era, not from his days in the 80s, while he was Solicitor General later in time, they were not released, but even these other memos showed that this guy was probably to the right of Rehnquist.
Let me get to a couple more calls here. Christine, you have a question or comment?
Yes, this question would come under the category of curiosity. Now, O'Connor, she resigned, so that was the first job opening. I would like to know, why isn't Roberts running for that position? And I always thought that the Chief Justice was required by his peers. I didn't know you could appoint someone to be the Chief Justice.
Yeah, you are. You are appointed to be Chief Justice. It's a separate appointment. So essentially what Bush did once Rehnquist died is he switched his appointment of Roberts to the Chief Justice position and him to take an Associate Justice position as well as the Chief Justice position, and has left the O'Connor seat not answered yet. When O'Connor resigned, she said that she would serve until somebody was in the seat. So actually the court is not with just eight people. It still has nine people.
454-0400 is my phone number. Al, you have a question or comment for our guest, Eleanor Schmeel? Al? Yes, caller, do you have a question for our guest?
Oh, yes. Could I ask you historically, wouldn't you agree that the only liberal Chief Justice of the last century was Earl Warren? Thank you very much.
Oh, I would think that Thurgood Marshall would be in there somewhere, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, she's. I think he was saying Chief Justice.
Oh, Chief Justice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thurgood Marshall would be certainly there. Earl Warren was turned out to be just the right person at the right time, and as we all know, gave us Brown versus the Board of Education. And the key thing he did was he worked very hard to make that a unanimous decision. Essentially, Rehnquist, I think, will go down as a weak Chief Justice eventually, because unlike Earl Warren, he could never get a consensus, and he gave us huge numbers of 5-4 decisions, which I think has weakened the prestige of the court and made people understand that under Rehnquist, the only thing that matters is if you had the fifth vote. He didn't seem to care that even if he was making a big shift, he would do it on a weak premise of just five votes. It was very political and direct.
But yet and still, I had the president of NOW on my show last week, and she was talking about, given that about Rehnquist, he still supported Title IX. There were still some things that he voted for that there is no indication that Roberts would ever support.
Well, that's the thing. As I said, we look at this Roberts appointment as to the right of Rehnquist.
Mm-hmm.
Title IX is one of those reasons. Also, Rehnquist actually voted on the Violence Against Women Bill, the Family Medical Leave Act, as supportive, too, and we're afraid we'll lose Roberts on that. So, yeah, if you can believe it, because Rehnquist has been a very right-wing influence on the court.
Quick question.
Hi, Eleanor. I wonder, do you all affiliate yourself with Planned Parenthood? And
Do you affiliate yourself with Planned Parenthood?
We see Planned Parenthood as an ally, yes.
Okay. And Eleanor, we have like 30 seconds left here. What should people do?
They should let every Democratic member, frankly, every Republican, too, say you don't expect them, that you want no votes. You want them to definitely save the courts. Rulings on civil rights and on women's rights, environmental rights, and they shouldn't be a pocket vote for unregulated corporate robber barons. So make it strong that you cannot be taken for granted. And don't go for this thing, oh, well, you're not from that state. You can't talk to people from other states. When it comes to fundraising,
they want your money.
One nation.
That's right. That's right. And where can people find out more information on your position?
Feminist.org is our website. www.feminist.org, and you can go to NOW's website, www.now.org.
Okay.
Those are just two to begin with, but there's many, many now progressive groups who are now all opposed, and really some that are just very moderate groups, too, that are opposed. It's a large coalition.
Eleanor Schmeel, president of Feminist Majority, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
ABC News, I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush is at the Energy Department right now talking about the country's post-hurricane energy outlook. Let's give a listen.
Be mindful once again about the effects of the SPRO and how it can help settle price. He did a fine job after Katrina, and we're paying close attention to the markets.